Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Wednesday, August 19th. Kathy's out. I'll handle the news duties. We'll begin with gun violence in Philadelphia. It's surging at a record pace as police investigate more shootings that took place on Tuesday night. Since 2 p.m., 11 people had been shot, including three children. Police say one man died, four others are injured after a gunman inside a white van opened fire on a group of people. It happened around 4 p.m. at 30th and Cumberland Streets in the city's Strawberry Mansion section. Five victims between 15 and 24 years old were injured in the shooting. Police say an 18-year-old man was shot twice in the head. He died later at the hospital. They use the term man when you say 18 years old. It's a kid, folks.
They were showing pictures of the area, Preston. You know those little yellow markers they put down for each bullet they find? They were littered across the pavement.
It's terrible. A 15-year-old boy was shot in the right leg. He is listed in serious condition at an area hospital. A 24-year-old man, a 20-year-old man, and 21-year-old were all injured in the gunfire. No immediate word on the conditions of the three victims. The deadline came and went, and the three homeless encampments across Philadelphia remain along the Ben Franklin Parkway, the Azalea Garden, and in front of Housing Authority on Ridge Avenue. Mayor Jim Kenney said that there was never a deadline per se, but rather a 30-day notice to leave on August 18th. And on Monday, he said in a statement, after several weeks of face-to-face discussions and after more than 2 months of concerted efforts by our administration, I have come to the conclusion that further negotiations would be fruitless. He expressed his frustration, saying, "We agreed to at least 20 different requests to the group, and their response is, unless we meet every demand, they will stay forever." The city cited health and sanitation reasons for removal and safety with acts of violence occurring in and around the camp. The Ridge Avenue encampment is preventing the construction of a much-needed North Philadelphia grocery store. And the city said more than 400 complaints had been filed about the encampments. Residents complained that they don't feel safe, and it is affecting the use of Von Collin Park in Fairmont. Former Vice President Joe Biden formally became the Democrats' presidential nominee on day two of the Democratic National Convention yesterday. A night topped off by his wife, Jill Biden, giving the night's main speech. Because of the convention's virtual format this year due to coronavirus pandemic, the roll call of states in which the delegate counts were announced that made Biden the nominee was done with brief live and recorded video segments from these states and territories, most of them done before landmark or otherwise meaningful locations. In addition to Jill Biden, the night's other high-profile speakers included former President Bill Clinton, Republican former Secretary of State Colin Powell, and former Senator John Kerry, the Democratic's 2004 presidential nominee. A keynote address was delivered by rising party star Stacey Abrams, along with 17 other younger Democrats from across the country. Leadership was a main theme of the night, with foreign policy also emphasized and many shots taken at President Trump. Jill Biden, a teacher, delivered her remarks from a school where she once taught, speaking of her husband largely in personal terms rather than political ones. She spoke about meeting and marrying Joe, with who had two young sons and had lost his wife and daughter in a car crash, saying, "How do you make a broken family whole?" Biden spoke about her husband's devotion to working for Americans, saying his faith in God and, quote, "in you, in us," stating, "We just need leadership worthy of our nation." And she did that in Wilmington, by the way.
Right.
Of course. And then one last story. Girl Scouts of the USA announced Tuesday that they'll be debuting a brand new flavor for the 2021 cookie season.
Ooh.
Toasty Yay. Is a French toast-inspired cookie dipped in icing and full of flavor in every bite. According to the GSUSA, the new treat will be available in select areas in 2021. The Girl Scouts also announced changes to their cookie-selling delivery method. As the U.S. continues to navigate the coronavirus pandemic, through social distancing measures, customers will still be able to buy their cookies directly from local Girl Scouts. There's also a gift box option that allows cookies to be shipped directly to customers.
I am liking that.
How about that?
Have you guys seen any for sale lately?
Because I
was in a store
and there were Thin Mints on the counter for sale, and I was like, how friggin' old are these things?
Yeah, they usually don't happen until around January, I think, is when the sales first start hitting.
Was it the dollar store that you were in?
No.
So they were 8 months old.
Yeah.
Well, and it's especially because they melt right now. Mm-hmm. If, like, the girls are standing outside, those Thin Mints are going to be all melted.
True.
That's exactly why they don't do it in the summer.
Yep, they won't last.
What are those cookies that they only sell in the winter? They're the chocolate-covered marshmallow.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They're great. They're
not moon pies.
No.
Malamars.
Yeah. They're so thin, the chocolate that they melt.
Yeah, the chocolate that they use will absolutely drip right off. So, all right, in sports this morning. The Flyers beat the Montreal Canadiens yesterday afternoon in Game 4 of the first round and now lead the series 3-1. Carter Hart made 29 saves, recorded his second consecutive shutout as the Flyers won 2-0. Michael Roffel scored first with the Flyers for the Flyers, with Phil Myers adding an insurance goal in the second. Hart becomes the third Flyers goaltender to record back-to-back playoff shutouts and the youngest in the NHL to do so in 26 years. The Flyers will look to close out the series in Game 5 tonight, and the puck is scheduled to drop at 8 p.m. Sixers look to bounce back from their Game 1 loss against Boston Celtics. The two teams will play in tonight's Game 2. Tip-off for the Wild World of Sports from the Wild World of Sports Complex in Orlando is set for 6:30. Bills beat the Boston Red Sox last night in Fenway Park. Bryce Harper hit a 3-run homer during a 7-run, 6-inning, and the Bills came from behind to beat the Sox 13-6.
Nice.
Reese Hoskins, Phil Gosselin, and Jay Bruce also homer for the Phils, who have won 4 games in a row. Series in Boston continues this afternoon. Jake Arrieta will get the start. Game time 1:35. And for the Eagles at training camp, Derek Barnett is listed as week to week with a lower body injury, and Javon Hargrave is listed out with multiple weeks with an upper body injury. ESPN has reported that Hargrave has a pec strain that he suffered while working out. Barnett and Hargrave have a realistic shot at being ready for the regular season opener on September 13th, and that is against Washington. That's all I got for you this morning. Sports news, all of it right there for you,
friends.
You
did a damn good job. You sort of thrust into this last minute. Like the true journalist you are, you rose to the challenge.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate that Kathy is ill, but I hate doing news. I hate it.
Good at it.
You know, that's what Walter Cronkite used to say. I hate this.
Yes.
I effing hate this.
Good night and good luck.
And I hate this. I'm Dan Rather, and I hate this. Every goddamn second of it. I'm Tom Brokaw, and I'd rather get an enema than do this.
Thank you.
We all hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it.
I think me and all the other
journalists
agree that we hate the news.
I'm Jim Gardner, and I hate the goddamn news.
Right,
it
anyway.
Never stays the same.
It's just changing all the goddamn time. What is the deal with that?
I should add.
No, it adds a level of, it gets in the way of the other things that I'm doing to prepare for the radio program. But whatever, man. Whatever. I'll probably get it for you again tomorrow. Kathy's feeling ill right after vacation. Thank you very much. All right. Well, welcome to it, sunshine. It's a Wednesday.
Hope you have a good day.
Yeah. I hate this. We have a chance. We have a secret text word prize. We have a chance for you to win a carload pass of up to 4 people to see Steel Panther. At the Circle Drive-In Theater in Scranton on Saturday, September 12th. And you know what? Yesterday, Stig Zadinya, the drummer of Steel Panther, retweeted my drum video yesterday. Yes, he did.
Which one?
The play along to Casey's.
Because you have like 80 of them now.
Well, it's the ranch dressing rant.
Oh, okay. Really? Okay, yeah. That's cool.
It wasn't this one?
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the map.
Not that one, no.
Okay.
It was the did you see the ranch dressing? You saw the ranch dressing
one.
Yes, you did. So, anyway, thank you, Stig Zadinya. I appreciate that. So, you'll be able to see Steel Panther. But text the word secret to 39333. We will send a word back to you, and later on we'll ask you to call in with that word. The designated caller will win that prize, and we'll also grab a random texter, too. So why not give it a shot? So text word secret to 39333. Let me see here. We do have guests on the program. Like I said, it's a Wednesday, so we're going to go live on Fox Good Day. Big J Okerson is getting in touch.
We'll get a From the Man recap of what went down on stage.
I was out last week when this happened. I don't know what the details are. So he got pulled off stage?
He got pulled off stage.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we'll ask Jay about exactly what his perspective was from being pulled down from the stage. We also have Roy Wood is going to be on the show.
He's great.
Back-to-back weeks of convention coverage on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. We'll see how that is different this year.
Roy Wood is one of those legitimately at-the-core funny dudes.
And then we also have the guy you may have heard about, Pat Finnerty. We reported on him yesterday. He got Dave Grohl to join him on Instagram Live for a jam session just by doing a little virtual or a viral campaign of sorts, and it got to Dave, and Dave got him. We're gonna hear exactly how that happened.
Yeah.
So he's a local guy. We'll talk to Pat a little bit later on this morning. So we got a lot to get to today. Let's take a break, come back in a second, and I'll have a stupid question. It's Elvis related.
Oh!
And we'll have a prize with that and some entertainment stories. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's give something away. We're going to do the stupid question. We're going to give away a 24-karat gold-dipped rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. I told you I was going to do an Elvis question, so here it is. How old was Elvis when he bought Graceland? 215-263-WMMR. Call now if you know the answer. How old was Elvis Presley when he bought Graceland? I have a bunch of birthdays to go through today. If you're celebrating a birthday on Wednesday, August 19th, you celebrate it with a bunch of celebs, Kevin Dillon being one of them, brother of Matt Dillon, star of Entourage.
He was also in Heaven Help Us.
Yeah.
Which I really love.
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of a comedy, but there's a really dark side of this abusive priest.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, but I've always enjoyed that movie.
Yep. He's 55 years old today, Kevin Dillon. Adam Arkin. We have a couple of famous siblings, or I guess relatives, because his dad is the great Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
But he's had a successful career all the way from, you know, Chicago Hope, Sons of Anarchy, Northern Exposure.
He's in one of our favorite movies, The Doctor.
Yes, he is.
He's the good doctor.
Yeah, he plays the real, you know, concerned doctor. It is a good movie.
He can be difficult.
Yeah.
What's that? I've
heard he can be difficult.
No kidding.
A bit of an ego on the guy, yeah.
That sucks.
Is he the star of, is it Jefferson commercials? Jefferson Hospital? Or is it Penn Hospital?
Yeah, I believe you're right, Case.
I think it's Jefferson.
Okay.
So he's 64 today. It's Bill Clinton's birthday today.
Hey. He just spoke last night.
He did. That is correct. And he turns 74 years old today.
Where the hell is Hail the Jared is?
There. Yes. Former president celebrating his 74th birthday today. Also today, Jonathan Frakes, Commander William Riker of Star Trek The Next Generation.
And recently seen on Riker. Picard,
yeah.
Yeah.
And remember also he was the host of The Masked Magician or Magician Secrets or whatever that show was?
He did.
Oh, really?
And he also had like a Ripley's Believe It or Not series as well.
Yeah. Always liked him. Man.
Yeah, he's married to Jeannie Francis from General Hospital.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's also featured on the Fish album, song. Hoist.
Yes, right. You're a big fan.
Yep.
How is he featured?
He's a horn player.
Plays trombone, right?
Yeah. And then there's also a song. It's not that great of a song, but it's called Riker's Mailbox. But there's a horn song. I believe it's Julius that he plays on.
All right. He's 68 today. It's Matthew Perry's birthday. Matthew Perry is 51 years old. And I guess that Friends sort of reunion that was going to happen just kind of got put on hold.
Right. And they're all saying the same thing. So obviously there was some sort of talking point passed around that the extra time will mean it'll be that much better when they do it.
Of course. So happy 51st to him. Kira Sedgwick turns 55, wife of Kevin Bacon, of course.
I love her.
I do, too.
She's awesome. She's in that movie. They're playing the crap out of it. The Possession, which is basically Jewish Exorcist.
Yeah. Okay, I remember
and,
that.
And, yeah, and she's in it. She's great.
Steve, it's John Stamos' birthday.
Oh, my God!
It is indeed the birthday of one John Stamos.
I happen to have clips about
John Stamos.
Thank you.
Good housekeeping.
That too.
Velociraptor.
That as well.
What? Did we just become best friends?
So John Stamos is if you were gay, he'd be the man you want to sleep with. That was their, right? That was his classification.
Oh, in that clip? Step brothers. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Full House, ER, played drums with the Beach Boys as well. He's
Kokomo.
Yep, that's right. He is 57 today, John Stamos.
Always liked him.
Now, we also have actress Maria de Medeiros. And you may know her, and probably the only thing you know her from, is she was the girlfriend of Bruce Willis in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Oh.
Fabienne was her name.
Sort of a waifish.
Blueberry pancakes.
Mm-hmm. Will you give me oral pleasures?
Will you kiss it?
Can you introduce me to the gimp?
Oh, she is so cute.
I don't know why I was thinking about that the other day. Will you give me oral pleasures? Will you kiss it?
My friend loved to use that line. Loved the kiss
it
line.
Will you kiss it?
Yeah, I used it in college all the time. Sometimes it actually worked.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's girls dig it when you're really gentle in the request.
Oh. Like, all right, Randy.
Try it at Whole Foods today.
Yeah. Give it a shot.
Yeah. But I don't know of anything else. Now, I didn't look up her IMDb credits to see what else she's been in.
She's
but
in Monster Truck 3.
I assume she's French, right?
Yes, right?
I don't know. I just made that assumption. Because of the, but her last name is Medeiros, so
she could be Spanish.
She could be Spanish. I'm not really sure, but anyhow, she turns 55 years old today. She wants a pot belly. Johnny Nash, the singer of "I Can See Clearly Now," the rain is gone. That is a great song.
That's an upbeat song.
Can get me in a good mood.
Gonna be a bright,
yes, exactly,
bright sunshiny day that we can't tell because our glasses and the building tint.
Yes,
and f it up.
Mm-hmm. He is 80 years old today.
Oh, wow.
80. Yeah, right. Ian Gillan, lead singer of Deep Purple, is 75. Always appreciated his vocal abilities. And I need to go back and explore some old Deep Purple, man. Yeah. Besides this, like Highway Star and My Woman from Tokyo and stuff like that. There's some really good stuff that Deep Purple had. And Ian Gillan can belt it out. He's 75 today. Well, happy birthday to you. Also from the world of rock.
Yeah.
John.
Rock.
Stop.
Stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Deacon, bassist from Queen, ooh, who stepped away from the band and had nothing to do with them in their latter years, you know, when Adam Lambert came on board and everything, and also with Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie, just kind of...
The guy who plays him in the movie...
Oh, he's great.
...looks so much like him, as does the guy playing Brian May.
Yeah, exactly. And he is... But this song, he wrote.
Yeah.
This was a number one hit, and John Deacon wrote this.
What was the thing that made them stand apart? Every band member wrote a number one hit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All four of them wrote a number one hit song, which in a band, you never hear that happen.
And in the movie, they would have you believe that he wrote this riff as people were arguing, and he was like, oh, I gotta write a soundtrack to this fight
right
now.
No.
How did it go?
In the scene, he already had it.
He was
just trying it out on them while they were arguing. Okay. He was distracting them. He was taking that fire, that passion that Freddie had, and channel it into this.
I'm sure every song creation in Bohemian Rhapsody happened exactly the way they did.
Right. Yeah, like when, you know, Freddie was running late. All right, let's get together and clap. And we'll do this song.
I like it.
John Deacon is 69. And the last birthday I have, also from the world of rock, Joey Tempest, the lead singer of Europe, celebrates his 57th birthday today. Yeah. And And they, like Rat, had a little resurgence in a Geico commercial. Yeah.
Were they
a couple
in the
years ago?
The cafe or the lunchroom?
Yeah,
yeah.
In the in like the office, as the microwave is counting down. It was the final countdown.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, how is it that insurance companies have the best commercials and the best jingles?
Yeah.
And by the way, did you see the latest Geico one with the ants problem?
No.
Oh yeah, we have a problem with ants. And yeah. And there's like everything in your fridge is expired. You know, and it's there's all these ants just complaining in their house.
Like little ants?
No, like your aunt May.
Thank you.
Aunt May.
Okay, gotcha.
Aunt all right. Edna.
So happy birthday to Joey Tempest. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. How old was Elvis Presley when he bought Graceland? And I will go to Eric, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
Oh, good. Just put away the poop knife.
Oh, very good. Glad you got that out of the way early.
Put up quite a fight this morning, didn't it?
How old was Elvis when he bought Graceland?
I believe he was 22 years old.
Yep. You are correct. Hang on a second, Eric.
22.
We're going to give you a 24-karat golden rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. Steven Singer Jewelers showroom at the other corner of 8th and Walnut is now open for appointments only. And you can go to IHateStevenSinger.com to book your appointment today, by the way.
You've been to Graceland, right?
I've not been to Graceland.
I have.
No, yeah. I'd like to. I hear it's underwhelming, but
It's surprising how you figure this sprawling mansion, but it's not.
Yeah. That's what I hear. All right, listen, I got a lot to get to. We're going to start with this new accuser coming forward with allegations against Cuba Gooding Jr. A woman is claiming that Gooding coaxed her into a Soho hotel room in the summer of 2013 to rape her twice. The woman who filed suit anonymously is a Jane Doe. Said the assault happened after she met him in the VIP section of a Greenwich Village lounge. When he got into her room, the woman said in the suit that he put on Mumford & Sons music and undressed, despite the woman telling him that she wanted him to leave. And then it goes into graphic detail, and I'm not going to share those details because they are pretty graphic of what he did. He's already facing a criminal trial on 6 misdemeanor counts of sexual abuse stemming from 3 accusers. So this woman is officially filing suit.
It's effed up.
Yep. Tracy Morgan and his estranged wife, Megan, filed divorce documents almost simultaneously, and there are signs the split is going to get ugly.
Oh. So she's no longer a fine bowl of pineapple juice?
Guess not. Megan filed first on July 28th with Tracy following suit the next day. She wants sole custody of their 7-year-old daughter, Maven.
Oh, boy.
But she wants, Tracy, interestingly, also wants her to change her last name back to her maiden name.
Can in a divorce, can you compel someone to drop a name that they got in marriage?
I don't know.
I don't know if that's something you can do.
Yeah, that's
a
good question.
If they want to opt to keep the name, I think they can.
Do you remember, at least from the movie What's Love Got to Do With It, when Tina Turner was filing for divorce, she's like, I'm keeping the name. And he was saying, no, you're not.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it's something you can argue in court. I don't really know if you have legs.
Well, maybe you can visit the name on weekends.
Well, yeah, maybe. You have joint custody,
custody of the name.
The name. Last month, the pair announced their split. In a statement, he said, sadly, after nearly 5 years of marriage, Megan and I are filing for divorce. This is a challenging time for all involved. They had met in 2011 on a blind date and got engaged a year later, but it is over. The Sussexes are hard at work pitching a new project in Hollywood, according to Variety. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are quietly shopping a concept and has met with networks. No word yet on the details. Also to be determined is if the pitch is for a scripted or unscripted series or something else. An insider said they're hoping to co-produce the project. Another insider said that Meghan will not star in the project. Her first return to the biz was with her work narrating the Disney Plus Elephants. The doc got some mixed reviews. You said it was
good. Yeah. I don't know. That's what kills me. I don't know what more you would need to bring to the narration.
Yeah.
You know what? She was hitting all the right spots.
Yeah. Harry's first Hollywood gig is in Netflix's documentary Rising Phoenix, which launches later this month and will tell the story of the Paralympic Games.
So the show that they're working on right now, Preston, that they don't have all the details about, I understand it's about robotic gorillas.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It's going to be cool.
Groundbreaking.
Yeah.
At least one high-profile meeting happened at NBC Universal with Bonnie Hammer, the chairman of the NBC Universal Content Studios, who knew Megan from her years as an actor on Suits.
This story about a man who makes a little girl as his daughter, and she's a robot.
They're doing Small Wonder?
Yeah. There was already... Sorry.
No word if the pair met with streamers like Netflix, Disney Plus, or Apple. Observers speculate that the new project would likely have a social or environmental angle.
I'd love it if they just went completely disposable TV.
In June, they signed with the Harry Walker Agency, which also reps the Obamas and the Clintons. During an emotional Zoom call with her staffers on Monday, Ellen DeGeneres addressed several issues related to the toxic work environment that she reportedly oversaw on her eponymous show. According to insiders, the host said that she had no clue where the unspoken rule dictating that no staffer could look her in the eye came from.
There have been people in my career in radio where there was sort of an understanding that you don't look them in the eye.
Really?
I'm not going to say names, but back early on in the early days of WDRE, I heard a fairly validated story about that.
Wow.
Yeah. And to me, that is the height of self-involvement.
I've never, in the 30-some-odd years of being in this business, I've never had a moment where even a celebrity, like a high-level celebrity, where I've been given the edict of don't look them in the eye. I've never heard that phrase actually uttered in life.
If you want to instantly be classified as a nuclear douchebag, make that request.
Yeah, yeah. So the 62-year-old had said, "I don't know where it started. Please talk to me. Look me in the eye," describing the rumored rule as insane. She said, "It's crazy. It's just not true. I don't know how it started. It's not who I am." WarnerMedia is reportedly nearing the end of its investigation into the show. Thus far, three top producers, executive producer Ed Glavin, two executive producers, Ed Glavin and Kevin Lehman, and co-executive producer Jonathan Norman have been fired. They were accused of bullying behavior and sexual misconduct. Interestingly, DJ Steven Twitch Boss, who publicly supported DeGeneres during the investigation, has been named co-executive producer.
Wow.
Now, meanwhile, Page Six had unearthed a remnant of her past. She had tweeted on June 5th, 2009, "I made one of my employees cry like a baby on today's show. Honestly, it felt good."
Do you know what the context of that was?
No, but it says, "On today's show." I assume
I do know what
she
it's about.
Did something nice. Wonderful and
yes.
Nice.
Yeah. That's what it was about.
Come on, man.
I doubt. Do you even think Ellen would boast? Listen, we don't know all the specifics about that, but that's a reach.
I punched a baby in a throat today. You know?
yeah, exactly. And plus, it says on today's show.
Yeah.
Shut up. All right. Sad news. Couple of deaths to report. Ben Cross, star of stage and screen, has died at the age of 72. The actor, best known for his role in Oscar-winning drama Chariots of Fire, died in Vienna from an unspecified illness, according to his daughter, who had confirmed the news on Facebook.
He also played Spock's father in Star Trek. Yeah.
Sarek, yes. He had been sick for a while, she said.
I didn't know that.
But there was a rapid decline over the past week or so. Yeah, so it came along quickly. Cross made the move from stage to screen in 1977's A Bridge Too Far alongside Sean Connery and Michael Caine in a role he later described as, quote, a glorified extra. In the same year, he also became a member of the Royal Shakespeare Company before gaining fame playing Billy Flynn in Chicago. And that led to a leading role of Harold Abrams in Chariots of Fire, the story of British athletes at the 1924 Olympics, a film that he didn't think was going beyond the English shores. It became a hit in the U.S., and he went on to win the Oscar. It won the Oscar for Best Picture. He said, "A film like that is professionally life-changing," in 2012. In the years since, he starred alongside Richard Gere in First Night, played Sarek in the 2009 reboot of Star Trek, and played Prince Charles in William and Kate the Movie, which I wasn't aware of. He also has a number of projects yet to be released, including Netflix romance Last Letter to Your Lover with Shailene Woodley and Felicity Jones, and a supernatural horror called The Devil's Light with Virginia Madsen. So there's still some stuff that's going to come out with him in it.
He's also in Tiger King 2.
No, he's not. Do you play Joe Exotic?
My name is Joseph Exotic. I'm his British cousin.
What a range.
I understand you carry big cats at your zoo. My name is Joseph Exotic.
He is survived by his wife, Deanna, and two children, Theo and Lauren.
Theo!
That's right, Theo.
Chariots of Fire, does it hold up? I've never seen it.
It does. It's you cannot help but get swept up in the inspirational aspect of it. It's a really good movie.
Yeah, there's a couple of movies that I was too young to really, like Gorillas in the Mist, that one, ones that were
those
like,
things robots and Gorillas in the
yes,
Mist?
Yes, that's part
wow.
of the
wow.
And I still haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
I think these are fake.
Unfortunately, another passing to report. Actress Kristen Johnson is mourning the loss of her sister, Julie.
Yes, I saw this. And they both fought with... Kristen Johnson herself just had a book out about her battle with addiction.
Yeah, and this unfortunately took her life, her sister's life. She shared on social media, I know she's finally at peace. She had the best belly laugh in the world. The mom star had been open about her own drug and alcohol abuse in a 2013 op-ed for New York Times. She wrote, it's time for addiction to stand up and demand some respect, because every time someone is ostracized for being an addict, every time there's a breathless, trumped-up, sensational headline, every time we giggle at a wasted celebrity, and every time addiction is televised as salacious entertainment, yet another addict is shamed into silence. Do you know what her addiction was, Kristen Johnson? I don't know.
I believe it was alcohol and pills.
Was it pills?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's too bad. She was on Third Rock from the Sun, and she was also obviously in the Austin Powers movie. She put on a lot of weight, but I think when she did that, she got a lot happier and was not, I think, a large part of her angst was over body perception.
Okay.
And so she's really funny on Mom. She's a great addition to the cast.
Well, all right, some happier things. Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston are reuniting for Dane Cook's Feeling Alive. No, not like that. For Dane Cook's Feeling Alive, a virtual table read of the 1982 film Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Oh. And Sean Penn will be taking part. He's obviously going to be Spicoli.
So is that tomorrow night? It's tomorrow, isn't it?
It's the 20th. August 20th.
Yeah, yep. It's a couple of times that we were kind of complaining that we never got the advance on a lot of these things that we wanted to see. Yeah. I'm going to try to watch this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sean Penn has a checkered past, to put it mildly. But he does a lot of really good things. And this benefits this organization that he started called CORE. It started with the earthquake in Haiti 10 years ago. And now he's setting up all of these free testing sites for coronavirus and COVID-19. And Sean Penn leads by example in a lot of ways. And it's really impressive.
I've had issues with...
He can be a bit of a wackadoo.
Yeah.
But he walks the walk.
Yeah.
When he says he's going to help, he gets out and he rolls up his sleeves and he actually does it.
So he's like one of the few who didn't vacate the Haiti situation and has stayed there and has stayed trying to build up businesses and stuff like that. That's really cool. The Spicoli character is so brilliant. And if you watch any of the behind the scenes about the creation of the movie, how all that kind of, stuff just sort of fell into place and that portrayal. I mean, he's really a secondary character. And if you remember the movie poster, he's the one character featured on the poster.
That was my skull.
One of the scenes I love is when Mr. Hand goes into the class and Spicoli decides to show up and actually be a student. He's sitting there upright, all ready to go.
He doesn't say anything, right?
He's just sitting there smiling. Yeah.
He's just smiling. It's visually hilarious. But, who knew that Sean Penn was who he was or was going to be the actor that he was from that goofy-ass character that he played.
The scene at the end with Judge Reinhold where he goes into the quickie part or whatever it is.
And Hamilton!
He's paying and he's reaching into his pockets and trying to pull out stuff. And he's like a little kid paying for something.
Used to work at Old American Burger.
He's not playing Spicoli.
No way.
Is he playing Mr. Hand,
is
ironically?
Is he going to be Mr. Hand?
I don't know. But he says the casting has not been revealed yet, but Sean Penn won't be playing his iconic character.
Steve,
Jeff Spicoli.
Who was the actor that played Mr. Hand?
Ray Walston.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he was great.
Is that my favorite Martian guy?
He was my favorite Martian.
God, he was so great.
Yeah, he's excellent.
Also taking part as Jimmy Kimmel, Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman? Maybe he'll be Mr. Hand. I don't know. Shia LaBeouf.
Playing Phoebe Keats' character. I just saw your brother spanking it in the bathroom. It was very disturbing.
Shia LaBeouf, Matthew McConaughey, and Julia Roberts. So, wow. Big, big names in this one. So, anyhow, yeah, Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston are, you know, kind of...
I just lost my virginity last night.
Getting back together. And so this will be taking place tomorrow night on Core's Facebook and TikTok pages. So it should be pretty cool.
Wait, you know what, guys? I'm sorry. It's updated. It's now Friday the 21st.
Oh, they changed it?
Yeah, just now. So there's an update, Fast Times, so we'll be streaming on Friday, August 21st.
That's goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a link on PrestonandSteve.com with all the info.
That'll be easier for me to watch. So there you go. I'm happy with it.
Try to remember that it's on.
Yes, I know. Hey, in This Is Paris, a 39-year-old heiress, Paris Hilton, will shed light on the real person behind her party girl persona.
Man, I cannot wait to miss this.
I know. Me too. In a trailer, she said, "Something happened in my childhood that I've never talked about with anyone." She says this in the clip. Her sister Nikki says, "I just heard screaming bloody murder." And then the trailer cuts to Paris talking to her mom, Kathy, who appears to be crying with her face in her hands. This Is Paris will stream September 14th on YouTube. You think it'll be anything?
No.
Really?
No.
Traumatic?
No. I think she had that thing that she revealed just recently, that the whole persona that we know as Paris Hilton is a character that she created.
No, shut up. That's who you were. Own it. That's who you were.
Yes, no.
You were a partying, socialite.
No, she's a theoretical physicist.
Oh, Jesus. All right, moving on. Kendall Jenner is fueling romance rumors yet again with Phoenix Suns shooting guard Devin Booker.
I just need to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it legal to date anyone who's not a basketball player?
It might. In their family, it might not be.
No, yes.
I don't know.
Maybe that's the family edict.
The pair were seen dining at Nobu in Malibu on Sunday.
Is there
Sunday.
A Yes Boo?
Yes Boo. Why
it's,
not?
It's next door.
Nobu in Malibu. Yes Boo is in Malibu.
Yeah.
Next to Nobu.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they were seen dining at Nobu in Malibu on Sunday after flirting on IG.
Wait, hang on a second. Are they not in the playoffs? Did they? Because I know
they missed it. They were
because they had a really really good bubble.
They were the eighth seed, I think, or the ninth seed, and they didn't make it to the playoffs. So he's out.
There'd be no way they could be at Nobu if they were in it,
unless they were at Yes Boo.
Yeah,
They were spotted Monday walking his dog.
Oh my God!
Mm-hmm.
What kind of dog?
They were first linked on a road trip from L.A. to Arizona in April.
Oh, we're looking at a picture case. It's fairly big. Might be a...
Looks like a lab.
Yeah.
Then they were spotted driving around L.A. on Memorial Day. Jenner is by far the most circumspect of her family.
Which means she's had her foreskin removed.
That's right.
Learn stuff.
You didn't know that, did you?
I know.
She's circumspect. I had idea.
The rabbi came over.
Oh, wow. Okay. So anyhow, when it comes to romance, and has rarely addressed any rumored relationships. When the romance was first reported, a troll had tweeted out on TikTok video of three men tossing a toddler around in a circle, writing NBA players passing around Kendall Jenner.
Uh-huh. So Ben Simmons completely over?
I guess he's over.
But a fan had defended her on that video, writing, "Well, maybe she's passing them around."
Yeah. Oh,
to which Jenner replied in a tweet of her own, "They act like I'm not in full control of where I throw this cooch."
Yeah. I talked about
what
that.
She said,
"A cup that
where I throw
this
cooch."
Yeah, we talked about that not that long ago. Where she's
I throw
like,
"This cooch."
Yeah. She was like, and I was like, "There's no way." She actually wrote that, and as it turns out, she actually did write it. Yes.
What, you thought she was hacked or something?
No, that, it was the same way I thought the fish dance party was at the royal wedding. You know, I'm like, is this real, or
okay,
is
you
this
thought
doctor?
Someone else maybe gave the line to her?
Right.
Apparently,
she throws that cooch wherever she wants
wherever
to throw
she
that
wants.
Cooch, man.
Hey, I got
to
tell you.
I wonder if it sticks to the wall and slides down. What were those toys you used to have?
Yes! With like a little octopus? Yeah, and would crawl down
Wally
the
Crawlies.
Wall.
What were they? Wally Crawlies.
Wally Crawlies. Yeah. I miss those.
Those are fun.
I threw one on the ceiling one time in our house. It stuck.
Yeah.
And it did, and it stayed there. We left it there for 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah. And when we eventually took it off, it was just this goo.
Oh,
and we
God.
Had to, we had to paint over it and everything. So,
oh man!
Yeah. So maybe her cooch is like that. I don't know.
There's a scene in the Goldbergs where Murray comes in. And he's furious at Adam, and he takes like a handful of me. He goes, "Here, you see what I think of these?" And he throws them against the wall. And he goes, "You literally played with that toy."
Yeah,
that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
It's like a Mylock.
Yeah,
or Minoc.
Minox.
Minox.
What are Minox?
They're an empire where you go into the gut of the big worm, and he has to clean them off the side of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
Minox.
I hate those things.
Yeah. She's right. The best one of all of them, right?
I think she's Kendall? The most attractive.
I think she's the most tolerable as well.
I mean, me personally, I don't know. All right, anyhow, I have one more story.
Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars will return to the airwaves on September
14th.
Yeah! According to ABC. The show will go on Monday nights between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. The network has revealed a number of changes. With Sharna Burgess and Keo Motsep returning, while Britt Stewart and Daniela Kargok will get celebrity partners for
aren't
the first
the Kargoks
time.
The creatures that stick to the outside of the Millennium Falcon?
No, those are Minox.
Oh. I'm going to be curious to see how this Tyra Banks-sized version of Dancing with the Stars proceeds, because the original series, which has always done well, is more like this glitter ballroom thing. Mm. And apparently they're sort of doing away with that.
By the way, Steve, I think a Kargok is the guy at Mos Eisley that has a face like a vagina.
Yes.
Your friend looks like a vagina.
It's a Kargok.
Like a Kargok.
That's right.
But yes. He throws that Kargok wherever he chooses.
That's right.
But no Tom Bergeron, right?
I might be wrong. Yeah. Gone. So yes, they're gone, and
the Sports Illustrated, ESPN,
Aaron Andrews.
Yeah, they're gone too. And so it's going to be Chrissy Teigen is the host, right? Wait,
no, Tyra Banks.
Tyra Banks. I'm getting my supermodels mixed
I
up.
I know, yeah.
Tyra Banks will be the host. So ABC Entertainment President Carrie Burke told Deadline, "I've seen the presentation from the Dancing with the Stars producers on how we're
stinks."
Planning to produce this show post-COVID, and while the health regulations in place because they have the advantage of making it other territories, and I'm blown away by the ingenuity and the care which they are producing it. We are bringing all those innovations to the American broadcast.
I liked your bossa nova. It is very good.
She said, "I am really confident in their plan. Maybe he'll be a judge.
That'd be great.
Sly could be a stud.
Thank you, Tango.
Mm-hmm.
Like
your cash.
Hey,
it works.
Cash.
Yeah. Works.
Well,
they're saying that they're, you know, all these different things are coming back into production. They're doing the temperature checks. They're doing the testing, and so on and so forth. And they're moving along. So, no reason you can't do this show.
Yep. All right, clips. Let's do them.
Let's do the clips.
The British television series We Hunt Together focuses on two conflicted officers as they hunt down a pair of dangerous killers. In this clip, star Hermione Corfield explains why she thinks this show will resonate with people. Here we go.
It's multi-led, so you've got four characters. They really have their own individual struggles going on. You know, you've got the thrill of the murder, and you've got the thrill of this cat and mouse chase, but there's also such a human story underpinning the whole thing. Each individual character is going through their own journey and discovering things about themselves, and not everyone lands in the best place possible, but it's a good exploration of character and resilience and internal struggle.
I don't think I want to see it.
Was she named after Hermione from Harry Potter? Is she old enough? I wonder. I don't know. Was that a name that existed?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah,
okay.
It was
quite popular.
A new episode of We Hunt Together hits Showtime Sunday at 10. I wasn't sure if J.K. Rowling had created that name or not. I'd never heard of anyone named Hermione before that. All right, here's the next clip. A police officer, drug dealer, and veteran team up to take down those responsible for the creation of a pill that grants buyers superpowers in the film Project Power. In this clip, star Jamie Foxx talks about what it was like working with film's directors, Henry Joost and Ariel Schulman.
I could see that these guys were hungry and they were up against a huge challenge. This is a big undertaking. And to see the light that they had in their eyes, to see the passion that even if we had to stay on one scene for more than 2 or 3 hours, they did not let up. So I'm looking forward to working with them again next, and their future is really bright.
Project Power is available to stream on Netflix now.
Kind of sounds The Boys-ish.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's I saw it. I watched it. It's good. It's not Boys-ish, but
Girls-ish.
Yeah, it's like that.
Good point. And that is what I have in entertainment this morning. All right, let's take a break. We got a lot to get to today. Jay Oakerson's going to be joining us this morning. Roy Wood from The Daily Show will be on the program. We're going live on Fox. Good day. We have a secret text word. Chance for you to see Steel Panther in concert in Scranton. Text word secret 39333. We'll take a break and be right back. Make sure you hang with us this morning.
MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series, an hour-long concert made up of the best live performances ever captured.
MMR rocks.
Metallica in concert this Saturday night at 7. We're all jonesing for live music, and this should help. So hit the backyard, get the tailgate started, and crank up MMR every Saturday night this summer at 7. It's MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series.
Sponsored by Acme Markets, official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show.
This week, Metallica.
Give me 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Hey, we have a new Daily Rush video at PrestonandSteve.com. It's called We Lost Jimmy. It says Jimmy called in and he may have crashed his motorcycle. I have to watch that because I don't remember that at all.
No.
You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com. Sponsored by Punchline Philly, of course, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So peruse the Daily Rush videos when you get an opportunity. Saw an article. Steve sent it over to me, and it refers to a piece of clothing known as the Zoom shirt, which is become an essential, apparently, now. The Urban Dictionary describes it as a shirt or blouse that's kept on the back of your desk chair to quickly be presentable for your video conferences.
And so while you're doing the complete cash thing around the house, the time you get on your Zoom call, you have to be more business presentable or whatever the situation is. So you quickly slap that on.
Yep. And apparently it's pretty, it said LinkedIn found that 42% of camera-ready home workers own a Zoom shirt.
That's hilarious. Which is
just ready to go at any moment. In fact, there's a guy who was commenting on it. He said it allows you to retain an image of professionalism on camera without having to get kitted out in full office attire when you're sitting at your kitchen table.
So basically everyone has become news anchors, like on the, yeah. You know, because the classic thing is they'll wear suit stuff from above the desk and then jeans or shorts underneath.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my girlfriends has worked from home for years and she works for like a tech company. And she has track jackets that don't look too sporty.
Right.
They kind of look a little like once you zip it up, it looks like, oh, it's a cute little sweater. It could be, it's professional enough.
So
she has it in like three colors.
Experts are predicting that post-pandemic, when things go back to normal, that dress codes in general for work might have a permanent switch that takes place.
I can kind of see this happening. People mm-hmm. have started to get very comfortable. The perception of, okay, does it affect work output? Now, if you're in the line of work where you are constantly interfacing with people, other people, and trying to bring in clients and things like that, perhaps. But for the most part, what is the purpose of business attire? As I'm standing here in shorts and a right. T-shirt.
I know, same here.
I know, it's radio.
It is for that. It's for yeah. that in-person,
right.
Making an impression.
But outside of that.
Yeah, I mean, and it's wild because our, you know, sales staff, which is on a staggered schedule, so we don't see everybody on a regular basis, but from time to time you'll see staff members trickle in, like Bill Burns, you know, one of our general sales managers. Seeing him not wearing a suit, I've gotten used to that now.
Yeah,
because he's wearing button downs.
Yes, and do you is it hard to for employers to ask people to go back to that after you've been yeah. doing this? What was the most casual? I remember just as you were talking about this. For a while, I worked at the Beadleton Bookstore in the Bayshore Mall, and they had an issue with the heat in the back room. And I would work with just shorts and no shirt on.
Seriously?
Yeah. And the manager wow. said, It was that oppressively hot that here I am going in
shirtless
doing inventory.
Yeah.
And it was, and oh yeah, okay. Yeah, I get it. And it was fine. Yeah, yeah. And I was the only one back there.
Yeah. If you remember, our dress code kind of got relaxed around here a few years ago already.
With us? You mean the jocks?
Well, not us.
Yeah,
no.
Okay.
I love when people look at photos of us. They're like, really, guys? Flip-flops to work?
It's oh, yeah.
Like,
exactly.
What else
of course.
Expect? No, the guy stopped wearing ties a few years ago.
Yes.
Around here. Like, it already was headed that direction. So this is just going to make it easier.
Yeah. And they also were able to, for charity, they were able to, like, buy... if you spent $5, you could wear jeans to work.
Yeah, right. It's like a casual day charity donation that you could do.
So with this sort of shift, and there'll be probably a lot more percentage-wise people that would continue to work from home because companies have found out they can eliminate overhead and make that happen. For example, will you go into a law firm or whatever, and will the lawyer sitting behind the desk, will he be in a much more casual attire?
Probably not. Yeah. I mean, there are probably certain industries where, you know, the suit and tie are going to be the mainstay, right?
Especially what if your surgeon is wearing a T-shirt and shorts,
right?
Well, I mean, I personally don't care what you look like, what you're dressed up like. I mean, I really, really don't care. It does not affect me whatsoever. Coming from a guy who wore a tie to school for 13 years.
Yeah.
I don't understand how or why tying a piece of fabric around your neck makes you look nicer.
But you don't want to see somebody's like a bit more buttoned down if they're your, you know, if you're the owner of a company and it's a multi-million-dollar company and
don't
you
care.
Go in, you don't want to see the guy who's handling your finances presented. Will that matter? And I'm just saying on a general level.
Yeah, I don't listen. I could be talking out my ass. It doesn't matter to me.
Well,
right
like
now.
My our accountant who does our taxes, he wears a Hawaiian shirt like every day of his life.
Uh-huh.
So I've gotten used to that.
Right, yeah.
But maybe if you don't know them and you're walking in,
I think on your first. But then it also goes to like different companies. You know, depending on what it is. Like I don't think I consciously judge people. They just need to be clean.
Right.
And put together, I'm not really judging what they're wearing.
I actually did not that long ago because I'm starting to shop around for a new car. And I realized I was going to go buy a place to look at a car. And I was wearing one of my stupid ass T-shirts that I wear to work every day. I forgot which one it was I was wearing. I'm like,
they're not stupid ass. They're awesome ass.
Yeah, I know. But I'm walking into, you know, a nice brand.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, this guy's not going to take me seriously.
Did he?
Man. Well, yeah, you know. I mean, but the next time I went, because I'm looking everywhere, I put on a nicer shirt before I went.
A tuxedo shirt.
Yes, exactly.
I wore my tuxedo t-shirt.
So those old adages about, you know, about your address and sending a message through that, are those starting to diminish, do you think?
Maybe.
If your lawyer's wearing a mesh shirt,
right.
That's going to be
Listen. Yeah. To me, that's a little tacky. It's a little cheesy.
Yeah.
I mean, but if my lawyer were wearing a T-shirt, I don't necessarily know if I would care. Here's the deal. I don't like hard. All right, this is going to sound sexual.
Here we go.
Please don't make this sexual, Steve. Please.
All right.
I don't like tight asses. All right. And
no. That's why you use muscle relaxers.
Because I feel like I'm being judged by you just as much as you know what I mean. So like, just by the way you're dressed. And the way you carry yourself, I feel like you're judging me for the way that I dress and the way I carry myself. Listen, I know there are people in this building, in this suite that work for this company that hate the fact that I am a grown man, Nick too, and we wear baseball caps. DeBella hates that. And I'm like, shut up, you old bud. Shut up. You know, it's 2020. 45-year-old men wear hats. Bro.
You know what's interesting, Steve, is as you point out, you know, you had said your financial planner.
Yeah.
Our financial planner, this guy, Kevin, who I've worked with for 15, 17, 18 years, however long it's been. And for the longest time, we would go to his office and meet with him. And Kevin wears a full-on, sharp, three-piece suit, tie, looks impeccable.
Yep.
And I come strolling in looking like this.
Yes.
And the whole time, not the whole time, but while I'm sitting there, I can't help but think, aren't you uncomfortable wearing that stuff? You know what I mean? It's kind of distracting me. I'm like, why don't you loosen that up a little bit for me a little?
So we have, over the years, we've used this MEI catering. This guy Nick and his, you know, they'll come out and we have big, huge, you know, my wife's family is huge. So a lot of times we'll cater the events because there'd just be too many people to cook for. Yeah. And Preston, like, will have a party in the summer and they'll come over and I'll always say, just wear casual. You don't need to wear the waiter, waitress uniform. Just be relaxed. Be comfortable. And they're like, they insist, no, we're doing our thing, and this is what we do, and we want
to... I guess it's a uniform.
We want to do the presentation for you. Yeah. And try as I might, they will not relax.
But in that role, like, you don't want somebody who looks grubby, like, serving you.
There's
food
a difference between grubby.
Like,
and so is there a connection to you mentally, Marissa, between... Do you equate grubbiness with attire? Because I think, like, just being dirty looking and unkempt is different than wearing something casual.
And then also, you know who to ask for food if it's a party. Like, they stand out.
Well, they're
out
all wearing the same stuff, you know, and that's the thing. And so that's what I hate about the people that dress casual, is that you automatically, Marissa, you did it. You equate it to being grubby. And it's like, dude, it's not grubby. Like, the T-shirt that I'm wearing is clean. It's not wrinkled. It was hung up. You know what I mean? And I'm not grubby looking.
Yeah, but the other, half of what I was going to say was, then you know that they're working. And you don't feel bad asking them for help or for food or for a drink or something like that. They are playing a role.
That's so a uniform. I find that different.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think we're all giving ourselves way too much credit. I think we are instantly judgy of people. And then we'll take the time to get to know them a little bit and recognize whether or not. But I've seen it time and time again. When we see somebody, when we interact with somebody, we pass judgment on what they're wearing, and then we can change our judgment on those people. But I've seen all of us do it, and I don't think it's – I think it's a human,
it's human nature.
I think
happen.
You see somebody and you have this instant image in your mind of, I don't know if I trust this person if they're not wearing a certain thing or presented a certain way.
Let's keep in mind, though, some people like getting dressed up for work. They like to put on that snappy suit and look really
good.
Look
about,
snazzy.
How important I mean, I think, like, when we – there are certain things that require – to me, the greatest invention is the sports coat, sports jacket. Because you can
– you wear a T-shirt.
You're somewhere between look – I put this over my shoulders and put my arms into it. I'm now dressed up.
Right.
I spent half of my teenage years reading magazines about how to make an outfit go from day to night. I thought I'd be dressing up for work, and then you'd throw some heels in your bag, some kitten heels, and then you could dress it up for the evening.
So you
and
could
go
be
a
hit
hour
in the boardroom and the bedroom.
Exactly, right. Steve. That's not happening.
I'm a kitten heels fan.
With your kitten heels.
What the hell are kitten heels?
They're made from actual kittens. They're
ground up kitten bones. Wait, what are kitten heels?
Kitten heels are like the short heels.
So, like, low rise.
Yeah, so like you would wear kitten heels to work, and then you'd wear your stilettos to happy hour afterwards.
Okay. By the way, Marissa can walk on her tiptoes.
It's unbelievable.
She wears these big ass heels.
She shows up at functions, like if we're doing appearances, when we'll eventually get back to them, and she's suddenly 6'1".
Well, she stands on her tippy toes. I don't know if you guys have noticed.
Oh, yeah. Hang on, I want to go to some calls. I have Danielle. Danielle, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, what's up? Hey, how you doing?
Good. I work at a hospital, and when COVID started, they had enacted a dress code to, like, boost morale where everybody could wear jeans. And the head of HR just released a new permanent dress code that jeans are allowed as long as they're not ripped and torn for everybody.
Okay.
So, like, nurses, everybody in the hospital. Huh. As well as changing, like, it's always been natural hair color only, no fun colors, no visible tattoos, no facial piercing, so no eyebrows, no nose rings, and that's all changed.
Wow, and that's as a direct result, you think, of all the COVID stuff?
I think that's part of it, but I know that there have been some higher-up people in the company who have, like, visible tattoos.
Yeah.
And kind of are like, you know, what is the point of telling younger generations of people you can't have visible tattoos when they're coming into the workforce with tattoos on their, you know, forearms and wrists and stuff like that?
Yeah, so, you can't hold it back.
By the way, they're allowing jeans. Are people going from scrubs to jeans? Because scrubs are like pajama pants, man. That's like ultimate relaxation.
I know. I mean, I haven't worn jeans. But some of the, like, unit secretaries do wear jeans instead of scrubs.
Yep.
and some of the other techs that I work with who are, like, helping out with stuff, they'll wear jeans instead of scrubs. Some of the guys, especially.
Okay.
You don't need no scrubs.
No. Good throwback.
Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
It's definitely bred in people from a younger age, too, if you're trying, to get a job. Because I had an intern come to me once. She'd worked here for, like, worked with us for maybe a month or 2 months and sees how we dress every day. And she asked, she's like, do you mind if I put my lip ring in?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my goodness, of course. Like, yeah. Be yourself. Well, this is the place to shine.
I remember when I was in broadcasting school, one of the tips was make sure you're clean shaven.
Oh.
when you go in for an interview,
yes.
Are you clean shaven as well? So that's forget it now.
And grow a large handlebar mustache.
Right.
It's funny because we will see interns when they're coming here, initially for their interview, and they come in all buttoned down.
Oh yeah.
And you're here in some movie reference shirt. I've got Batman on shorts. And it's like, you can relax.
But with that.
Yeah.
With that, when Marissa does introduce the people that are coming that are potential interns, and I see somebody who has gone to the effort, and I'm like, okay.
I agree.
They're taking it seriously.
I hear you, yes. And so it is, we're kind of on both sides of the issue. Because, I wouldn't want a firefighter coming to my home in a Hawaiian shirt. You know, and I know that's a uniform, but there are certain things that telegraph things to us. And, that does show you're committed to wanting to get this internship.
Let me go to Joe S. Hi, Joe, you're on the air. Good morning.
How are we doing, guys? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. What's up, bud?
So I work in college admissions for a fairly large public university, and we changed our dress code. We used to have to go out with suits on and everything else. And I had a colleague in my office who really used to dress up, Preston, like you were talking about with your financial planner, and I kind of made a similar comment to him, like, dude, aren't you stuffy? Like, don't you feel a little kind of, like, overdressed? And he's like, no, I'm good, but, you know, he was a sharp dresser. But out in the field, when we're talking to students at college fairs or talking to parents, we actually had an incident where we learned later on through an email that a student didn't apply to our school because they felt that they couldn't get in based upon how we were representing the school with our attire.
Okay.
And I was like, I prefer to wear a polo because if I'm talking to a 17, 18, 19-year-old student, like, this should be a fun process and a fun time in their life. Like, why should I have to feel like I'm imposing something on somebody who's wanting to engage with me?
But that makes sense. You dress to the people you're trying to dress to impress, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes sense. If it seems like, I don't know, as Casey was saying too, like a tight ass. I don't think I'm going to be at home here. That can be an issue. But on the other side, you do see, I guess, how some people see something and immediately say, okay, they cared enough to present themselves and get done up for me.
So here's the deal. I have seen all walks of professionals. Backstage, so to speak, right? Yeah. So I went to college. And so now, as a result, I have friends that are now surgeons, that are now lawyers.
Right.
And so, but
an Indian chief.
I've seen you before you hit the stage. So I know what you're really like. So you don't have, for me personally, you don't have to put on this whole dog and pony show in order to impress me. Right. So just show me your work and it's all gravy after that. Right.
The only way that I would ever want to wear like a 3-piece suit.
Yeah.
You've seen the movie La La Land.
Yes.
At the end of the movie, Ryan Gosling is wearing a suit. If I could pull it off looking like him, I'd want to wear a suit like that. I'm like, look at that shark.
Well, I always saw it also for Bond, James Bond, which you're like, in Dr. No, he's on the beach a lot in Jamaica wearing a suit.
Right.
And I don't like, but you know what? Bond makes it work.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Step one, look like Daniel Craig or Ryan Gosling. Right. Yeah. Step two, put on the suit.
There you go.
And so
I will never put on a suit.
Right.
When I put on a suit, I look like Kingpin every time.
Yeah. Press, you have you have a great body, bro.
Wow.
Jesus. I have waited 22 years to hear you say that.
And I want to harken back to what I said about tight ass.
No. You have you got a nice frame and you look good in a suit. I don't look good in a suit. So maybe some of these things that I'm talking about today is because of my own personal hang-ups on how I feel and I look in a suit, because I agree with you. When I see somebody who can pull it off, I'm like, yeah, they look good.
Well, it's like when Homer, remember when Homer put on all that weight so he could work from home?
Moo-moo.
He could wear a
moo-moo.
Moo-moo.
Yes.
This is the best. Hang on, let me go to Bill. Hey, Bill, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Rantlers.
Rantlers.
What's
Rantlers
up, buddy?
So I work in New York City as a doorman, and our dress is a vest and tie. So I've had a few different directors over the last 8 years, and we had one guy. It was 85 degrees. It was humid as hell. And I came up from the locker room with no tie but the vest and everything else. And he goes, where's your tie? I said, it's 85 degrees out. He goes, well, you know, it's got to be a minimum of 83 degrees to be able to take off your tie. So why don't you do me a favor and put that back on, and I'm going to go check. So being a smart ass. So he went and checked, and he goes, okay, you're good. You can take your tie off. It was just like, dude, don't be such a ball buster. Like, it was really just, you know, that humidity in that city was rough.
Yeah, sometimes if you have an oppressive, well, it's like what I was saying with the caterers, you know, the house, and it's hot and all that stuff, to just relax. But some people insist on that presentation.
Bill, some door guys also have to wear like a longer jacket and gloves and a hat and all that stuff.
I see it a lot, the classic doormen, and they still have like the velvet jacket I want to call it the Shriner hat.
Yeah.
They give us hats. We get Stetsons in the winter, and we get kind of like a straw type hat in the summer. But there's days where some of the guys are like, Bill, why are you wearing your hat? I'm like, because it looks good. It's part of the uniform. They're like, they're going to make us all wear it. I'm like, no, they don't care.
You wear a Stetson in the winter? That's pretty cool.
As a doorman?
I formed my Stetson to look like a cowboy hat. So they're like, hey, who's the cowboy doorman? But we've had managers who literally said, okay, you can take your vest off because it's 102 degrees. And I'd have my dress white shirt, my black pleat pants, my dress shoes, and I'd have suspenders. And it's, hey, that guy is a bellman. He's got a name tag. He looks the part. Some guys are just so damn rigid. I mean, they'd have you in like an aluminum suit before they let you relax.
I get it. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yep. When I watch movies set in or filmed in the 40s or 50s, I'm a little jealous of the men wearing hats as fashion. You know, I thought there was something like classy about that, you know, and now you kind of, I don't know if you look pretentious, because some guys can pull it off better than others, but like, I thought that was a sharp look for dudes.
I bought a hat when we were in Florida. I'm like, I'm gonna wear a hat,
like a fedora.
Yeah.
And how did you feel wearing it?
I felt a little old. I felt a little old, but I also wanted to feel kind of.
I'll ask this gentleman, where's the Cracker Barrel?
I know. I felt a little old looking at it, but I'm like, I also wanted to feel kind of islandy. So I bought this Tommy Bahama hat, and I haven't put it on since.
That's
my problem. It's my island hat.
Yeah, and you buy it once, and then you look at it, and then you feel, you get self-conscious about it, because you'd be the only one wearing, like, if you wore that hat to work today. The first thing you'd hear is something from Steve. Yeah.
I thought about this. My shoulder's been bad. I haven't played golf in over a year, but I thought about getting like a Sam Snead, hat to play golf in.
That'd
but I'm
be
like,
cool.
I'm not going to look like the douchebag in the hat out there.
Get those huge visor hats that the golf women wear. It looks like they're this enormous duck hybrid.
Those are horrible.
My cousin wears those types of hats, and he looks good in them, right?
Okay.
Like the full brim hat. It's not a fedora, I'm like, yeah, you look. And so he got me one for my birthday a couple of years ago, and it's a nice hat. My face and my head are just too fat for it, right? So it just doesn't look right on me. I'm one of these days, maybe I'll be skinny enough to wear it and pull it off.
But I don't
right
think you
now,
give yourself enough credit, because I've seen you dressed in a sharp way, and you look good. You really do. And like when Dressing Jane came in and dressed you up for something that we did a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, I hated that.
You looked good.
You
really
did. Yeah.
You know what would suit you? Viking helmet.
Yes, I have one.
No. Okay.
For that Flav look.
Yeah.
No, but I have my giant straw hat that I love wearing down the beach. I wish I could wear that all the time.
It's huge.
It is.
Can you put some lotion on my back?
Let me go to Dell. Hey, Dell, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I tell the story all the time. I'm a teacher here in New Jersey, and I was going to school down in Florida, and I'm driving by the Fort Lauderdale Yankees. Back then, the Yankees had spring training down in Fort Lauderdale. I saw a big sign that said help wanted. I figured I'd go in and get an application, fill it out.
and I'm talking to the guy. I had my, you know, khaki pants on and like a T-shirt. And the guy looks me in the face and says, listen, if you think you're ever going to work with the Yankees dressed like this for, you know, for a job, you know, you got to, you know, dress up a little bit, you know. I was like, okay. So I took the application, filled it out. And then I showed up the next day because they called me like right away to come in for the interview. And obviously, I was pretty excited about being with the Yankees and doing stuff. But the guy looked me in the face and said, listen, for in the future, you can't show up like you did yesterday the way you did looking for a job. I said, well, I just figured I'd get the application. And basically, I didn't get the job. But that guy actually turned out to be Brian Cashman, now the general manager for the Yankees.
Yeah, the Yankees they were notorious for, like, dress code, and Steinbrenner led from the top down, and, like, you couldn't have facial hair. There were all sorts of protocol with that organization.
But you know what? Dell's got a point there. If you're going to show up just to get an application, even though even though most likely it's probably a receptionist or something like that you're going to get it from, you may encounter an executive, and if you're serious about it, you should probably, you know,
wear a sombrero.
Stand out for crying out loud.
Hello.
Yeah. But
yeah, I was pretty shocked by it. And, you know, it wasn't until about 2 or 3 years later, as he climbed up the chain, I realized who that guy was, because I remember I kind of learned a little bit of a lesson that day. And I think that it was pretty interesting, but I'm still a Yankee fan, but I'm definitely not a Brian Cashman fan.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm sorry to hear about all of that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Dell. you would seem contrary that just going to get the application that I can just stroll in and get this, but it's
got any jobs or something?
Unfortunately, it's something you should consider.
Could I be a pitcher?
In this article, the style director of Esquire magazine, Charlie Teasdale, says, I think it's safe to say that dress codes have been gradually relaxing for some time now. He said the recent benchmark seems to be the shifting attitude of financial institutions, which have all got rid of suits and ties for most employees.
That's wild.
He said last year, Goldman Sachs relaxed their dress code, asking staff to exercise, quote, good judgment in what they wore. A 2018 poll found that only 1 in 10 people still wore suits to work.
Mm.
Another factor is the rise of shared office spaces, where companies shared hot desk areas, and this means that attitudes to the workplace and workwear are becoming more casual. And then the Zoom, the whole, you know, the pandemic issue is relaxing it even more. So if you've been all, you know, butthurt about having to wear a suit all the time, it might be loosening up a little bit.
Yeah, it seems to be that way.
It'd be good news for you. So anyway, all right, thanks for the calls. Appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break, come back in a second. We'll see how we're looking. Are we dressed up for TV?
No.
We're doing that in a moment. Of course not. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day. Big Jay Oakerson on the show and more. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
All right, we're going to go live on Fox Good Day in a little bit. Reminder, day after tomorrow is our blood drive.
Yes, it is.
So the I Believe for Preston and Steve blood drive is happening in 3 different locations. You can go to WMMR.com to get all the details, sign up, because the deadline will be very, very soon, and we want to get as many people as we possibly can. I hear sign-ups are looking good, so that's, I'm happy to hear that.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And we're going to be dropping by various locations to just check in and say hi. Obviously, we can't be from beginning to the end the way we normally are.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, obviously, this year on a couple different levels, so get signed up. Music means we're going on Fox. Good day. Short shorts.
Apparently, Preston and Steve, us guys are wearing short shorts. Okay, you know, over the last 10 years or so, 10, 15 years, we've been wearing our shorts around maybe just above the knee or something like that. Now they're saying maybe just 5 inches, 5-inch inseam. What do you think?
I think that that shorts have gotten too long for a while, hanging down, you know, knee level and so on. But if you ever see someone, if you see old footage of guys wearing what used to be called basketball shorts, back in the 70s.
It looks so weird.
It looks ridiculous.
Besides that, well, with me, that still gives me 3 inches of clearance. Okay. So I'm pretty good. No. He's right. I mean, I was watching, you watch any old shows. Remember Magnum P.I.? Remember the shorts he used to wear? It just looks weird. Yeah. I like basketball shorts that kind of go down a little bit below the knee.
The ones that, the more current ones.
Yeah. Not the old style.
I have I have okay legs. I'm okay.
They're gorgeous. Are you kidding me? You know, Preston was a foot model. He actually took a few photographs.
The legs do make a difference, guys. I'm just saying. You know,
Alex,
as a woman,
you appreciate legs on a man?
I do appreciate, because we notice when we see chicken legs. We notice.
Oh. Okay, so that's a big mistake guys make when they work out. They bypass the legs. That's a thing, and you can't have chicken legs. Let's take leg day.
I have never once thought about my legs as being something appealing to a woman.
I do every day.
I hear that a lot from women.
Really?
Well, if you're going to wear shorts, I mean, we're going to look at your legs.
But women find men's legs attractive.
Wow. I don't notice when they're not.
I never feel, unless I'm wearing pantyhose, I don't think my legs look good.
What about hairy legs? What about that, Alex?
I don't think I mind that. I mean, I guess I expect hair, but I know there's manscaping now.
That's right.
Well, minding doesn't mean liking. So, you know.
Yeah.
No, I like it. I mean, who likes? I mean,
I don't
is that really
that.
A thing? To be like, I'm into hair.
Alex, do you have a problem with cargo shorts?
Ooh. Are you going fishing or?
See, therein lies the issue.
No, I don't have a problem. I love pockets.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Because they're convenient for dudes. And listen, I'm 45. I don't care. I like wearing cargo shorts, but you get in trouble with some women for wearing them.
I wear them every day. I put stuff in those
pockets.
Do
you?
Yes.
I do. Absolutely. I put all kinds of stuff in those pockets.
I can't
nowadays,
stand other pockets
I put my glasses. I put my mask. All that
your
stuff.
Your man bag, I guess.
Yeah.
I have, an entirely different definition of that. With the little coin thing is, and that I just use that for my snuff, and that's it. Yep. I don't do anything else.
My snuff.
Oh, my gosh.
The man bag would be close to your man bag.
Right.
Did I say
is Kathy there
man
today?
Purse? Yeah, we're
no.
my ladies.
Marissa is here.
Marissa. Hi, Marissa.
Hi, guys. I'll take cargo shorts over jean shorts.
Okay, that's fair.
Long jean shorts on a guy. I'll say that much. But yeah,
what
I
about hair?
Do you like hair? Sure, like hair doesn't bother me.
No,
it's manly.
Nobody's sounding crazy for hairy legs on a guy.
No. But nice calves, you definitely notice.
You know what Marissa likes?
Yes,
she likes the V thing, right? That what do you describe it as? The below the abdominals that points down.
Oh,
yeah, the V.
Like that Brad Pitt, like those muscles right above his waist.
The arrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You have to wear your shorts really low to get that to be seen, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen that girl?
Do you remember in the 70s, some dudes would wear half shirts?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It
absolutely. Oh, God.
That was a ridiculous look.
So now we have to pay attention to our legs, is what you're saying, right? So now we got to.
Well, another thing, too, the guys, we've been doing this for years, not wearing socks, even with a suit.
Mm-hmm. I sometimes go sockless. Yeah.
No. If you're the Wolf of Wall Street, you do that. But I wear socks. I got to wear the socks.
And if you do show off your ankles, make sure you lotion because we noticed.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Shut up. Yeah.
It's actually ankles.
Yeah. Not lotion in my ankles.
You guys have to pay attention because we are paying attention.
We don't have to pay attention.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, guys. Bye. We'll see you later. Lotion your ankles. Shut up. I would never lotion my legs.
My legs are so, just cut up and from all the hiking. Mm-hmm. I have scars that have never gone away. It's like Wolverine scratch marks on my legs that have never gone away.
I know that my psoriasis turns ladies on.
Oh.
Like nobody's business.
But oh, my
patches
God.
On my legs.
Ugh. Women love to run their fingers around the circles of my vitiligo.
Preston, you swapped up your sock game a few years ago, and
I
that's
did.
Noticeable.
Angela Perfetto. She told me she hated white socks. Said they stand out. I noticed it after that. I'm like, you know what? You're right. And now I notice white socks. I wear only black socks, but I tried to wear them very, very low. Or I go sockless. I've gotten used to not wearing socks.
It. Yeah? Yeah, because I end up getting the blisters on the back of my heels.
It all depends on the shoes.
Yep.
I have shoes that lend themselves to going without socks. I get these Skechers, these little slip-on shoes, and they're great.
Well, that short shorts look used to go with the white socks pulled all the way up. Do you remember that? So if you watch that movie, Can't Stop the Music, I guess it was.
God.
Yeah. So
the Village People.
Village People. Yeah. Bruce Jenner at the time is in it, and Steve Guttenberg making every bad fashion choice of that time period. Mm-hmm. The short shorts, the socks up high, the half shirts.
I have pictures of me as a kid with socks pulled all the way up to my knees.
Yeah.
It's like number 5 in the Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
You know, all the way up to my knees.
Well, the socks are back. The white socks are back. There's a photo of Dave Grohl I always think of where he's wearing like Airwalks and like the tube socks pulled all the way up.
Oh, yeah,
but now you can wear like the cool graphic socks that are out. Mm-hmm. You can wear those pulled up.
But then you need the athletic socks that have like three colored stripes.
Yes.
Across
to show
the
you're
top.
Serious. Mm-hmm. I'm a professional tennis player. Yeah,
exactly. All right. Interesting. Gentlemen, the legs, apparently they're important now. Mm. So you have been warned. We're going to do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Burke Brothers Landscaping. They have an immediate need for an experienced hardscape foreman who wants to earn a competitive salary and work with the award-winning landscape design and build firm. So if you want more information, you can go to burkebrothers.com. We'll start with this story. The Federal Aviation Administration investigating the circumstances of an incident that unfolded near Cottonwood Airport in Rockford, Illinois, during which a small plane overshot the runway, ended up skidding into a road, and then a sedan drove up onto the wing.
Holy crap!
There. Yeah.
That's like a Hal Needham stunt.
Deputies responded to the scene after the single-engine Agoura experimental aircraft plowed through a fence and skidded into the street. The pilot of the plane, James Siebel, who is 79 years old, by the way, said that he was forced to make an emergency landing after his engine quit shortly into the flight. Once on the road, a Chevy Impala that had no time to react drove onto the wing.
Oh, my God.
Police said the driver of the car was then transported to local hospital, and no life-threatening injuries were reported, thank goodness.
It's kind of a miracle.
A Florida woman opened up the port hatch of her boat and proceeded to urinate on her husband, who was asleep in the bed below. She's a Florida woman, all right.
Florida woman, Florida woman.
According to investigators, Heather Smith and her spouse early in the morning got into a verbal altercation while on the cabin cruiser at sea near a small island at about 10 miles that were, they were about 10 miles northwest of Clearwater.
So they knew what, she knew what that was.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't think it was
she
the
did it on purpose.
Okay.
Yeah. So around 1 a.m. Sunday, cops say the 47-year-old victim was snoozing when Smith opened the front port hatch, which is located in the roof of the interior cabin bedroom. Smith then urinated on the victim from above. When Smith's husband subsequently exited the cabin area, she allegedly bit him on the stomach.
What the hell?
The victim, cops reported, had injuries.
It's been a great day.
That matched the story. When questioned by police, Smith reportedly admitted to biting and urinating on the victim.
Ha ha, you just bit your own piss.
Smith was arrested for domestic battery and booked into the county jail around 4:40 in the morning. She was released on her own recognizance through a judge, though a judge did order her to be outfitted with an alcohol monitor after that.
Yeah.
How about this? A man helped change a tire late Saturday and then stole the stranded driver's money and cell phone at gunpoint.
Not cool.
That's not how you do it.
No.
You make up the story and you start a GoFundMe campaign.
That, yeah. We've learned how you do it. Yeah. A man and a woman told police that a man stopped to help them at about 11:15 p.m. and changed their tire as two other men watched. When the man who changed the tire asked to be paid for helping, the victim pulled out his wallet, and that's when the man pulled out a gun, took his money and his phone.
The dude was going to pay him.
Yeah. No other details were released. Police in Trussville, Alabama, are searching for a woman who decided to drive her car into the Home Depot inside, then got out and stole merchandise before fleeing the scene.
She then just backed right out.
Into. Now, I don't know if
she drive through the other side.
I don't think she left. I'm not sure how she left.
Where's plumbing?
The chaotic footage of her driving into the store has gone viral on social media. And police are asking anyone with information to please contact them.
Alabama!
Your bumper sticker can't save you from getting into trouble with the police. And it turned out that police in Ironbridge, United Kingdom, said a driver with a bumper sticker that read, "I'm not drunk, just avoiding potholes," crashed into a roadside billboard after driving with one wheel missing, and they were indeed drunk.
There was a dude driving down near me. I guess he was just determined to just get home. He was driving on the rim.
Oh my God.
And you could hear him coming from
there.
Yeah, I can do this.
Oh my God. Police tweeted about the issue, writing, "We eventually found the missing wheel. It was a mile away." The man was arrested and charged with drunk driving.
I was my brother and I driving into a Sixers game one time, and these people were all like waving at us, and we're thinking, yeah, go Sixers. No, his bumper had fallen off the front of his car and was being drug underneath the car. And who knows how long we've been driving like that. We're like, yeah, go Sixers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo.
There was a time. Okay, I'll tell the story now. We'll wrap
right,
up the
pause.
Bizarre file.
All right.
No, we'll wrap it up because right. I'll tell a story. I was driving back. Our band had played a gig, so it's like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And at the time, it was before we had our bus, we had a little trailer that we had to pull. And I drew the short straw. I'd drive the damn trailer back. So I'm driving it back. And at some point, the trailer, which had multiple wheels on it, one of them went flat. And I'm like, I'm not stopping. Oh, I'm like, I'm a few miles from home. I can make it. There's no way I'm pulling over on the side of the road and changing this thing at 3 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, I start hearing, and it's on the rim.
Oh.
Tire disintegrated.
Oh, man.
And it was on the left side. So when I got to my neighborhood, I go, all right, if I turn, it's going to make all this noise, and my parents are going to hear it, and they're going to wake up. Because I was still living at home.
Sure.
I was like, you know, 20 years old. And so I had to drive all the way around the neighborhood because I would have been making a right turn to go around.
They would have heard it.
And it would have kept the rim off. If I kept turning right, it kept the rim off of the ground. So I drove all the way around the neighborhood and eventually parked it in front of my house. And it was, you know, the rim was all worn down and stuff.
Oh, you just F up the rim. You're looking at much more repair cost.
And I'm sure I had a couple of beers or whatever. I was an idiot at that age.
My friend, comedian Joey Cola, he was driving back from doing gigs in Florida. And he's driving down 95. And he doesn't know but he was always like conspiracy kind of guy. And uh-huh. And, like, you know, you're being surveilled. And so if his tire went flat, unbeknownst to him, as he's driving along the street. And he's looking out the window of the car.
Oh, my God.
I'm being followed by a helicopter.
And it was his tire.
A helicopter's following me.
Oh, my God.
Because it's at night. He's sure he's under surveillance.
Oh, that's classic. Wow. All right. And that's what I have in the bizarre file. More stories to come a little bit later on. Keep in mind, we have a secret text word today. It's your chance to see Steel Panther.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be in the area. They'll be in Scranton, actually. It's as close as they're getting for now. But they're doing a drive-in show at the Circle Drive-In Theater. And it's September 12th. And it's a Saturday, which is great. So text word secret to 39333, and we'll send a word back to you. And we'll see if you can call in with that word later on. And we will give the designated caller tickets to that show. And it's good for four people, carload, like the Strut Show.
Yes, excellent.
So do that now. And we'll also grab a random texter and give away a prize in that way, too. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Joining us a little bit later on, Big Jay Oakerson on the show. Roy Wood from The Daily Show. Pat Finnerty, the guy that got Dave Grohl to check in with him on Instagram Live, will be joining us. He's a Philly guy. So we got a bunch to get to. Make sure you stay with us. We'll be right back.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Nick, you want to do a shout out or mention something?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
For my brother Adam and his wife Jenny, my sister-in-law, they had a baby girl last week, and so I want to congratulate them.
But baby Sandra Jane, they're calling her baby Janie. But Preston, two interesting facts. They did something that you and your wife did. They did not find out the sex of the baby. They had had two boys prior. Right. And baby Janie is the first McElwain girl born in, I think, 5 generations, and the only the second in 8 or 9 generations. Yeah, I'm one of 3 brothers. I have a son. My brothers all have kids. My dad had a brother. And so she's the first. So they were 100% surprised. And in fact, I know
exactly what that feels like.
Exactly. And so when the baby was born, Jenny, my sister-in-law, looked at the baby and looked at the midwife and said, can I please hold my baby boy?
Yeah.
And the midwife said, well, hang on a second. We just want to let you guys know that it's a baby girl. And so Adam was completely shocked. And my parents are thrilled beyond my mom and dad finally have a granddaughter.
That's awesome.
So it's a really cool story. And I just wanted to publicly congratulate Adam and Jenny on the baby being born.
That's very cool. And we were in the same scenario. We had 2 boys.
Yep.
And we're like, okay, we're gonna wait and see what we get. And when she came out, we were like, it's a guy! We were freaking out. It was so cool. Well, that's cool. I'm very, very happy for them. Real quick, I'd like to do a shout out on the heels of that. This is from Shayna. I think is how you say her name. Shayna does not really listen to the Preston Steve Show, but she reached out to us. For a coworker who does. She says, I got a new position at my work, and the wonderful woman is training me, and she would have your app running on her phone as we train and would talk about her husband legitimately gets jealous about her love for you guys.
I like that.
Stacy Stanley is her name, and unfortunately she lost her father unexpectedly this past week. I lost my dad 4.5 years ago. My heart breaks for her. Of course, we're going through the normal channels of sending her flowers, but I thought she would really be picked up if she heard some sort of a shout out as she listens every morning. She's a huge fan, goes to all the MMRBQs every year. Please help me by bringing a smile to her for her face. It would be appreciated. Thanks again, and that is from Shayna Curing. So
you want to give you a cranking one here?
Oh, please? You want to do that? Yeah, we could do that. Hang on a second. And
yeah.
Oh, and you know what? I realized I missed a birthday from someone. This is, my wife of 42 years, Sheila, is having her 69th birthday on August 9th. So we're 10 days late on that. And every morning she gets up at 7 a.m. to listen to you guys on MMR.
Wow.
And reports the day's stories, et cetera, to me when I finally get up. Is there any way you give her a shout out on her birthday? It would mean the world and freak her out more than just a little. Thank you so much in advance. And that's from Al Weinhardt. So there you go, and a happy birthday. All right, I think it's time to stroll the campus. We haven't done this in a little while. The Jessain Institute.
The Jessain Institute, located over 200 sprawling acres in West Virginia on the site of a former brassiere factory.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
A former brassiere factory.
All right. You always learn things about the Jessain Institute.
So, yes, we go into areas of study and science and so on.
Insignifica.
And Insignifica when we're at the Jessain Institute. And we'll start with this, being a morning person.
You mean someone who's in mourning?
No, someone who gets up early and likes to be up. That's their time of day. You might be under the impression that being an early bird is related only to willpower and persistence. But research shows that when you prefer to rise, it is a matter of biology. Nearly half of your chronotype, or your internal body clock, is inherited. Mm. So if you're a morning person, most likely you get it just from genetically.
Would you consider yourself, all right, so if you didn't have this job that's conditioned you to wake up early, what would be your normal wake-up time?
An hour after the alarm goes off.
Yeah.
No, I'm not a morning person. I have become a morning person out of necessity.
Yes.
And on the weekends, I do like to get up. I don't mind being first up. It's kind of nice. It's quiet.
You just kind of start your day that way. Yeah, on the weekend, too. You got to go early.
But it says most people have a circadian rhythm or a biological clock that runs on a 24.2-hour cycle. But some people have internal clocks that run longer than that, meaning that over time, they naturally fall asleep later and get up later. And it's important to remember that studies show that early birds tend to be more persistent, self-directed. I'm sorry about that. Not self-important.
Self-pleasuring.
and self-pleasuring, self-directed, and to be better planners.
Huh.
But they also show that night owls perform better on memory tests, have better processing speed, cognitive ability, and they also tend to be more creative and a little bit more financially successful.
Yes, yes, and yes.
All in your ticking all those, huh?
Preston, what time on the weekends, when your alarm does not go off, do you just naturally get out of bed?
Around 8.
Okay.
Yeah, about that time.
All right.
Being 7:30 and 8, something like that. How about you?
Well, so it depends. Generally speaking, when I don't have to get up
early. Is there cartoons?
Yeah, no, I just... I end up going to bed later. So as a result, I wake up later. But like this weekend, I got up, you know, with an alarm clock on Sunday at 8. And then Monday when I woke up, I was like 9 something, you know, 9:15.
Yeah, I would have hit the bottle pretty hard in order to sleep to 9. So
I wake up naturally. On the weekends, I will wake up at around 3:45.
And then I
go back to sleep.
Okay. Wow.
My internal clock is so structured. And in fact, I had one of those times where I woke up and then went back to sleep, and I had to wake up, and I was in a panic. Alexa, what day is it?
Yeah.
Well,
it's Saturday.
What time does your body make you get out of bed then?
So when I, like, during the week?
No.
On the weekend?
On Saturday, Sunday.
About 7 o'clock, 7
okay.
a.m.
Yeah. Okay. It's funny, because when I woke up on Monday at 9-ish, 9:15-ish, I could have sworn it was noon. You know what I mean? It felt late. I knew that I had slept pretty well, and I knew that it was definitely later than normal. So when I, you know, eventually turned over and grabbed my phone, I was like, oh, it's only 9
Kathy,
o'clock.
What time is it?
Oh, my God. By the way, yeah. the point of this article is that you should not force yourself to be a morning person if you are not a morning person. Because it's against what you biologically, your body wants to do.
A couple of things. Steve, you sleep less than anybody I know.
I know.
And honestly, yeah. Like I sometimes worry about your long-term health.
I'm going to die soon.
I started reading this book called Why We Sleep, and I'm trying desperately to change my sleeping habits. I went through a period of about 2 months of insomnia. I was not able to sleep well, and so I'm trying anything at this point to sleep a little bit better. But it's by this guy named Matthew Walker, and he talks about the inherent need among just for humans to get on average 7 or 8 hours a night. And I'm less than that. I know, Steve, you're way less than that, but I'm trying to change my habits and be a little more consistent in my sleeping to aim for that. You know, just
it's tough,
I think
though.
It's better for you. And like you make so many bad decisions. I make bad decisions, but people in general do when they're sleep deprived.
Yeah. So it's just the way I'm able to operate. And I've tried to change it and alter it. It ends up having worse effects on me, like naps and things of that nature. So I will do a meditation during the day, and that helps to some extent. You ever see the commercials for the people? In fact, it's a blind guy in the commercial who has no visual way of perceiving day and night, and it throws off his circadian rhythm. And he actually, it's for a drug that you take to reset your cycle, basically, because he has there are no visual environmental.
It's not like Lunesta or anything like that, is it?
No.
Okay.
Well, now I'm curious how your bedrooms are. Like, are you guys keep them dark or are they bright? Are the windows open? Because my favorite part of the weekend is just being able to wake up, like, with natural light. Because we don't do that during the week. It's dark out. Mm-hmm. Maybe, like, a day or two, there's, like, kind of a crest of sun during the summer at the peak. But
I don't leave my windows open, but, I mean, light comes through the shade.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have an opaque, you know, like
blackout
shade.
Curtains.
I do.
Anything.
Yeah. Everything gets closed down. The room is pretty dark.
Yeah. On the weekends, I enjoy being woken up by my dog, because what he'll do is he comes up next to me and
I'm
then
gonna make you feel so good.
Yeah. He just, oh God, you're gonna ruin everything.
What does he do?
No, he just lays there and he just kind of stares at me. And if I don't make any moves, he'll just kind of like breathe on me. He'll go like,
he's waiting.
And then I open my eyes. He's like, oh, hey, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Oh, and then he like nuzzles in. It's just so funny, man.
And you love this, right?
I do. Yeah. I do. Mm-hmm. The other one,
I
Fozzie.
Know this is wrong. Yeah. No, I know.
Fozzie lets me go. Reggie's like, dude, let's go, man. Let's have some fun today.
Yeah. All right. But it says, basically, this study is saying don't force yourself to be a morning person. Run on your schedule that works for your body, because you can't change your inherited biology.
There was a time when I really never used an alarm clock when I was, you know, doing production in radio and first got my radio gigs. I was always waking up at the approximately right time. Mm. You weren't required to be in directly at 8:30 or 9. Right. So it was a sort of a vague arrival time. And that always worked. Now I'm I have so many backup clocks to make sure I don't have any issues.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve, this blind thing that you were talking about is called non-24-hour sleep disorder.
That's it.
Sleep-wake disorder.
Yeah.
And it's when your circadian rhythms are all messed up and can be worse for blind people.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
It's pretty weird.
You know what else is interesting? This other story that I got.
More information from the Just Saying Institute.
The JSI.
I know I sound like the noticer, but I'm not. I'm on the Just Saying
Totally different guy.
Totally different guy. I never even met that guy.
Now the dentists have reopened their doors. They're having patients show up with nasty symptoms, which the doctors have dubbed mask mouth.
Oh, yeah. And it's worse than you thought, right?
And it's a riff on meth mouth.
Oh, no.
It's not that bad.
Okay.
The name is. The new oral hygiene
it's just as fun.
Issue is caused by wearing a mask all the time, and it's leading to dental disasters like decaying teeth, receding gum lines, and serious sour breath.
Yeah, I think I have a problem.
Dr. Rob Ramondi, a dentist and co-founder of One Manhattan Dental, said we're seeing inflammation in people's gums that have been healthy forever and cavities in people who have never had them before. And he said we decided to name it Mask Mouth. If left untreated, the results could be harmful. Gum disease or periodontal disease will eventually lead to strokes and an increased risk of heart attacks if you let it go too long.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah.
How do you get mush mouth?
watch Fat Albert.
Yeah, you got to watch Fat Albert.
I had no idea how important mouth health was to your overall health. I had no idea that there is a direct connection.
Yeah.
Between
heart issues,
heart disease,
and things like that. When
impotence?
It comes to an impotence,
I don't know.
When it comes to your dental care, which is, I'm always blown away when I see people who have black teeth. If you do have them, I'm sorry that you do, but I remember talking to my dentist about it. I said, what exactly is that? What's the problem there? If it's not
drugs.
You know, meth and drugs and stuff like that, he's like, it's decay. It's hygiene. They're not. Brushing
That's
their
why,
teeth.
You know, when you get any sort of procedure and stuff, they give a quick, you know, they want to find out what your mental health is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of the deal. But so you're keeping a mask over your mouth and you're not allowing the expulsion of your breath in a proper way. And what is the actual medical
reason? No, what's happening is your mouth is drying out because people that are wearing a mask tend to breathe through their mouth. More often, you should actually be breathing through your nose if you're wearing a mask, and that will fix the problem.
That's why I cut a hole in my mask for my nose.
Oh, you're not supposed to do that.
Oh. Damn it.
Says it's an increased dryness of the mouth, and it builds up bad bacteria. People tend to breathe through their mouth instead of through their nose while wearing a mask. The mouth breathing is causing the dry mouth, which leads to a decrease in saliva.
Ah.
And saliva is what fights the bacteria and cleanses your teeth.
Yes. So I keep a little moist sponge on the inside of my mask.
Oh,
to suck
you just
on.
Lick it and suck on it.
Yo, Casey.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Saliva is also what neutralizes acid in the mouth and helps prevent tooth decay and gum disease. People's tendency to drink less water.
Nah.
While masked up, as well as consume more coffee and alcohol during lockdown, have also added to the widespread dehydration that they are seeing.
Do you know it's taken off in sales? That mask, I think I mentioned it a while ago. It's the mask that has the little Velcro flip in it for a straw.
Okay.
Yeah, and so this is what people are bringing to the bars and stuff like that.
Yeah, Risa. I mean, it kind of defeats the purpose of what it is, but they're fun.
Yeah. On the bright side, the dentists say that they're packing in breath-conscious patients who might otherwise neglect their dental health during the pandemic. So if people are noticing they're having bad breath,
yeah.
I forgot who we had on, but you can smell your own breath.
In the mask.
When you got the mask on, so you know if you've got breath or not. And some people are going, you know what, my breath stinks. So they're going to the dentist when they normally don't.
To find out what the story is.
And that is, and even if it's not the mask that's causing the problem, they're going in to get dental work done, which you should regularly do. There are things that wearers can do to avoid the grossest side effect of, you know, bad breath and all that. Drink more water. Cut down on caffeine. Get a humidifier to help moisten the air. Use an alcohol-free mouthwash. Scrape your tongue.
I do that.
Do you really?
Yes, I was told to do that years ago, and that helps counter a bad breath as well.
What do you use as your tongue scraper?
An X-Acto knife.
Oh, okay. Oh,
no. I guess you probably shouldn't do that.
That's not smart.
Personally, I use a wood planer.
Oh, okay.
No, I actually just use my brush. I was told to
brush your tongue. Yeah. Okay. And if all else fails, breathe through your nose. So those are your tips.
Can you wear a scuba rig?
I don't see why you can't.
Yeah.
I don't know if what that's going to do for your teeth in the long run.
It'll make you look so badass.
Yeah. So, all right. Keep that in mind. It's mask mouth.
Mask mouth.
Part of that has to do with drinking coffee, and I have a coffee story from the Just Sayin' Institute.
This is the kind of thorough knowledge you can only get from the Just Sayin' Institute.
Coffee has been linked to health benefits, but at the end of the day, you should be drinking it for pleasure, not disease prevention.
So, okay. So at least we're not hearing something horrible, because coffee good, coffee bad. Yeah. Eggs good, eggs bad. But you're saying you can actually enjoy coffee just for the enjoyment.
Yes, drink it for pleasure, not for disease prevention. It says that two scientists reviewed several old studies about the health implications of drinking coffee and say the good news is that caffeinated coffee does not appear to raise any disease risks.
Yay.
And drinking it is linked to lower odds of various diseases. They concluded that for most people, consuming a moderate amount of caffeine is generally safe. However,
it might cause your vagina to seal up.
That too. No. If you notice, that's the sound of it sealing up. However, if you...
One more time.
Stop with the coffee.
Oh, my God.
It's the last bit of air.
As it's sealing up. Oh, man. I haven't made that noise in decades.
Oh, my God.
The sealing vagina?
I don't know how you put up with it, Marissa. I really don't.
I'm okay with this one. It's the stretching one that gets me.
Okay.
The stretching sound. Don't play that one. The stretching sound. Don't play it.
That's decaf. This is decaf.
All right. So if you notice, consuming caffeine disrupts your sleep or makes you jittery, you should adapt your intake during the day. Really?
Okay. Can you drink coffee late, or if you drink coffee later on in the day, will it keep you up?
Yes. It depends. If I try to go like 3 o'clock at the latest.
So in the morning?
No.
Oh, okay. I have French press around midnight. No.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I have caffeine has no effect on me as far as keeping me awake. In fact, if I have tea, and it's probably the milk being, you know, that I put into the tea being heated up that has that effect.
I got to believe if you drank enough of it, it would. But yeah. Just drinking.
No, you're probably right. I don't drink a lot.
Yeah, but drinking a cup is not going to. Yeah, no.
A cup?
Yeah,
a cup.
It's not going to.
Okay. Yeah, a cup.
It's not going to keep you up at night.
No, okay. No. And I'm actually in the evening, I'm more, I'm a tea person. The only time I actually drink coffee is in the morning. I don't drink it throughout the day.
I know everybody knows that Pierre loves coffee and drinks a lot of it.
Oh, but, God.
Bill might drink as much as Pierre does.
But does he?
Bill drinks coffee all day, and he is. Yeah, well, I think it kind of keeps him going, you know, and I just see him with a new cup of coffee all the time.
That's why his hands are flying all over the place all the time. We were in a meeting, and
he caught it.
I forgot what he said, but he was doing something. He was holding his hands up in front of his eyes like they were goggles.
Yeah, uh-huh.
For some reason.
Like he was Rommel commanding tanks.
Yeah, and I... you know, gestured like that, and he's like, why am I even doing this? It has nothing to do with...
Binoculars? Pretend binoculars.
Yeah, it has nothing
to do... I'm bird watching.
...with what I'm referring to. Right. If you were doing something like that, bird watching, you might...
Look, there's a golden speckled frit.
Right. You know?
By the way, I saw a guy at the beach who had binoculars, and at first I thought, oh, he's bird watching, and then... and I was like, oh, wait, no.
Oh, no.
That's a little creepy, right?
Was he looking at girls?
I don't know. But, like, why else would you have binoculars at the beach?
I brought binoculars to the beach when you're looking at boats and stuff like that. Yeah.
Maybe he was looking at blue tits.
Those are birds.
Those are birds.
Yep. You filthy-minded bastards.
No, you're right.
Okay. No. So, anyway. If you want to see the other version of that, just go to Alaska.
That's
Eskimo women, right?
The experts say pregnant women should limit their caffeine intake to no more than 200 milligrams per day, which is roughly the amount found in 12 ounces of coffee.
Okay.
Everybody else can safely drink up to 5 8-ounce cups of coffee per day. Dr. Mike would say don't do that.
No.
5 8-ounce cups. Yeah, 40 ounces of coffee.
So if I take our cups here are 12-ounce cups, correct? The ones that are by the coffee machine. I believe they're 12-ounce.
Yeah, 10 or 12.
Okay, so I will...
I think they're 10.
I will fill... I will not fill it up. I'll go half the cup halfway, and I'll do that maybe three times in the morning. So that's about a cup and a half.
How many ounces is this cup right here? I have this Dunkin' cup. How many is that?
It depends. It looks like... The inside looks like it might be 16 ounces.
Okay.
But since it's got that outer shell on it, it looks like a 20-ounce cup. But I bet you it's got 16 ounces in a case.
Yes, this one is 16 ounces. The Dunkin' cup that I have is, 16.
I'll bet you that's a 16-ounce cup. So anyway, ultimately, it says here, everybody else can safely drink up to 5 8-ounce cups of coffee per day.
40 ounces of coffee.
Depending on their caffeine tolerance. Ultimately, assuming you don't load up on coffee, every coffee you consume with milk and sugar, the experts say that coffee and caffeine can be a part of a healthy lifestyle.
All right, well, this cup is
a complete part of this day's breakfast.
This cup is 24 ounces.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it says it at the bottom.
Oh, so, okay. All right.
I drink one of these when I get to work in the morning. Now, I don't fill it all the way up to the top. I fill it up maybe 3/4, and then I top it off with a little cold water.
Don't cup.
Keep my lips nice and...
So you don't get meth mouth.
Yes, I don't want meth mouth.
Do you do any more coffee after that first one?
No, so this is technically my second one. I drink 20 ounces on my way into work.
Okay.
That's why I'm flying high when I see
you guys.
Wait a minute,
so you're drinking about... Yeah, you're drinking about 40
ounces.
I got
40 ounces of coffee before 8 a.m.
Yeah. All right. Before 8 a.m. Do you drink any the rest of the day?
No.
Okay.
No, dude, listen, I used to. And then
when you were doing Riverdance.
When I was doing
Look at him go.
I wasn't even trying to do Riverdance. That's just how I.
I can't stop dancing.
I was getting way too jittery. And I was like, okay, maybe you should stop after that second giant cup of coffee.
Right.
Okay.
Pierre must take in. What are you thinking? 120 ounces?
Well, it's 20-ounce to start.
Yeah.
20-ounce cups to start his day, and then he'll have another one later. And then, like, you know, when he goes, because he goes to the gym late.
Right.
So he'll do the coffee gymnasium. Before the gym and the gymnasium, yeah. And he still ends up taking car naps. Like,
yeah.
He's all over the place.
Wow.
Yeah. But wow. It's
when
two years
says the gymnasium, I think of guys in striped shirts and wax mustaches
I know.
Throwing the medicine ball around.
Dumbbells.
Hey, here's a question. You know why I can't tell if I'm really getting any caffeine intake or not is when I get what my wife and I call frou-frou coffees. You know, we'll get like a frappuccino or
a
something
latte
like
or something.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a frozen one. Yeah. Which I'm coming close to almost stating that a good frap. Maybe better than a milkshake. I don't know. It's getting close.
Don't
getting
you? Real, don't
I know. So it's a bold statement.
What's your frou-frou frap of choice?
A mocha with whipped cream. Outstanding. But anyway, I can never really can tell if I'm getting a caffeine kick out of it or not because it doesn't feel like I'm drinking coffee. You know what I mean?
I ask for an extra shot. And then you're good to go.
Yeah, probably should. All right, listen, I want to get to another story.
Come on now.
From the JSA. At the Just Saying Institute. We can't do a two-story
located
JSA.
On the site of a former brassiere factory.
Americans have gotten a bit more comfortable in quarantine. A survey of 2,000 U.S. adults by one poll on behalf of Dr. Scholes.
The shoe man?
That is correct. Found that...
Or the insole man?
25% say that they are experiencing increased aches and pains during their time in quarantine.
Not me.
50% said the decrease in physical activity has contributed to this increase in aches and pains, while 40% blame the increased discomfort on sitting around the house for too long.
You know, I said not me, but the truth of the matter is we've been coming into work... We've never. Our schedule has not changed much. In fact, that's why my heart goes out to people who are like, you know, in the city proper, like Marissa, in your situation where there's not, during the height of this, there was really nothing to do.
I think I'm on the edge of my knee giving out on me.
Oh, no.
Really?
I think so. Because...
And your shoulder and your knee?
Well, yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because where I normally have knee pain is right below the patella,
right,
the
kneecap. Yeah.
But
that's my dentist, by the way.
Patella?
Dr. Kristen Patella.
Petula.
Petula. Yeah. So now I've been having this pain on the side here. What is that? That's one of those, what is that, meniscus? Is that, the knee from
that's
sports.
That's your PCL, right?
MCL.
Posterior, MCL, okay. ACL, PCL, oh, no.
Right there. And I haven't been doing anything either to agitate it, but I walk in and I kind of twist and I'm like, I felt a pain there.
Is there blood in your stool?
Yes.
Yes, there you go. You got Flugelman syndrome.
Blood every day. I have what?
Flugelman syndrome.
Syndrome.
Is there any sort of exercise that you do on the knee, sort of a recuperative rehabilitation sort of thing?
No.
I think of Batman, the Batman Preston, the movie where he's walking around with the cane and he's completely worn out his knees and there's no cartilage. And you know, the thing is, that's not. It used to be that's an old, so you get older and that becomes a thing. Anybody who has any level of activity, you look at Cecily, she had to have, didn't she have knee surgery?
Yeah, well, she tore her ACL.
Oh, by the way, I just got a text from my friend Eileen, who's a physical therapist. She said it's a medial collateral ligament, an MCL.
Hey!
Casey boy!
Yay! You win turtle wax.
The hell do you do with that?
You wax your turtle.
You wax your turtle?
What are you doing?
Waxing my turtle.
But they're saying
I wonder why it was so goddamn shiny.
If you've been feeling mystery aches and pains, it may be, or they're just saying that there's a correlation to the quarantine that more people are feeling these little aches and pains.
I think when you move around, that's why I always, when I get some sort of pull or something, I keep working out. I just am mindful of being a little bit more careful.
A full 36% of the people that were polled admit that their posture hasn't been great.
From sitting down and sitting in front of screens?
I guess so, yeah. As they adapt to their new routine of working from home.
So we're going to be poorly dressed chuds by the time this is all over.
Yeah, no kidding. Which could contribute to the aches and pains because you have a poor posture at this point.
I'm going to say this, and it's a client stroke, but the truth of the matter is the Sleep Number bed, if you get a good bed, I used to have these bizarre things. I don't know if you've experienced this, Preston, where you just wake up and somehow you've pulled a muscle or something like that. Prior to the a good quality bed, we recommend the Sleep Number, you can really alleviate a lot of that, a lot of those issues.
Yes, this is true. All right, so anyhow, keep that in mind. You're not alone if that is indeed the case. And that's all that we have.
That's all from the Just Saying Institute, and we even stroked an advertiser.
That is correct. And we learned that it's on the grounds of a former...
Brazier factory.
Brazier factory. So you learn stuff on the President Steve Show and at the JSI. All right, we need to take a break because we got some guests coming up. A reminder, though, we have a secret text word. It's your chance to win a carload of passes for up to four people to see Steel Panther.
Yeah.
At the Circle Drive-In Theater in Scranton on Saturday, September 12th. So text the word SECRET to 39333. We'll see if you end up winning in a little bit. When we get back, Big J Oakerson tells us tales of being yanked off stage in Royersford recently. We'll find out what that was all about in a bit. Stay with us.
Hey, gang. Obviously, this year's been very different.
No, really? You don't say.
Anyway, the 15th annual I Bleed for President Steve Blood Drive is a go. But... it's going to be a bit different, too.
It's happening Friday, August 21st.
And there will be three donation centers. The Fillmore in Philadelphia.
The Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks.
And the FOP Lodge in Northeast Philly.
The Red Cross is always in need, but especially so during this health crisis. So make your appointment at WMMR.com now.
Listen, the process is safe, and it follows all social distancing guidelines, which is why both appointments and face masks are mandatory.
Register for our I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive. And yes, you'll get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt as our thanks.
From the American Red Cross, Penn Jersey Blood Services Region,
and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
So last week, as we were getting back from vacation, I think it was the first day we were back, and all of a sudden we see text messages popping up and said, did you hear what happened to Big J Oakerson last night? And we did a little bit of research and found out, he was at Soul Joel's Comedy Club in Royersford, in Rofo.
Yes.
And people called in and told us what was going on. But we're going to find out from him. And bottom line is he got yanked off stage by this idiot. And there was a drunk chick and all this other stuff. So we're like, we got to get in touch with Jay.
Yeah.
So Jay's on the line. Yay. Big Jay Oakerson. Hey, dude.
What's up? It's Big Jay Oakerson on your home for classic rock, 93.3
WMMR. Wow.
Well done.
So, well, it's not classic rock.
It's not classic rock.
But whatever,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So, dude, we saw the video footage. We got people that called in about what went on. And then we saw your video where you kind of described what had happened. And so what's the deal? Can you talk about all this stuff? Because I know a guy got arrested and you're going to have to go to court and all that.
Yeah. I'll choose my words at a certain point wisely.
Okay. For the first time.
Yeah. At a certain point.
All right. So let us hear the paint the picture.
It was, so yeah, I got to ask, well, the most funny thing to me is that as of last Monday, I wasn't even supposed to be on this show. They asked me, I was supposed to be Dave Smith and Louis J. Gomez, my two partners on Legion of Skanks podcast, and they were going to do a co-headline gig at Soul Joel's comedy festival he was having. Dave Smith couldn't end up going, so they asked me if I would sub in.
Oh.
You know, or they didn't ask me. I kind of offered. I was like, yeah, maybe I'll go. It's Thursday. I got nothing going on that night.
Uh-huh.
I'll head out to Royersford with you. So me and Lewis, Zach Amico, drove out there to do the gig. And it was actually, I was pleasantly surprised at how, like, good the setup was for outdoor comedy. You know, it's you can only do so much with kind of that crappy situation.
Yeah. Right.
So, but they actually did a really good setup, which ended up becoming the bad part was it was a 5.5 foot high steel tractor trailer stage.
Oh, man.
in the middle of a parking lot beach they've made. And, but it was a cool setup with all the chairs out and it was, mostly, thank God, fans. And this one family who seemed to be a problem the whole show.
Ugh.
And while Lewis was on stage, it was a brother and sister were the ultimate problem people here, but they had their whole family with them. But the brother and sister were going to the outside bathrooms they had there, and as they were walking through the audience, where I was sitting, I happened to be able to hear them just being very disruptive. The sister was social justice. She was hating everything that was being said, not liking Lewis's comedy, and she went to the bathroom. It made me laugh that she had said, "I can't believe they're all laughing at this stuff. Like they're such garbage. I hate Pennsylvania." She starts screaming. She hates Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So a real people person.
Yeah. She's super psyched about being around people. She's already exclaimed she hates everybody there, and she hates Pennsylvania. So,
okay.
She did end up leaving, which I was happy about because I always like to kind of acknowledge like, the weirdness going on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When I get on stage right away, I go, I told Lewis, I was like, wow, you were doing so well with this audience, and whatever you were saying upset this lady so much that she denounced the entire state of Pennsylvania. And she and I acknowledged her. I was like, Miss, where are you from, actually? The funniest part was she looked up after two or three times of me asking her that and saying, who, me? She didn't realize that she thought she wasn't the only person exclaiming, I hate Pennsylvania. it didn't strike her that I meant her. So, I was talking to her, and I was actually sort of trying to ingratiate her while, talking to her and getting her to calm down. But she just kept going. She came out with like a mission.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, she started going, she said, everybody here is Trump supporters. Everybody here. She described the crowd as pro rape, which I found interesting.
Okay.
She said, everybody here is pro rape. And I was like, I don't think anybody's pro rape unless they're a rapist. I mean, I've never heard anybody say, like, no, rape's the coolest. Not my thing personally. But
yeah, you're right. I've never heard anyone say that.
Yeah, like it's country music. Like, yeah. It's not my thing, but I respect it. And some of it's good. But, and then she just keeps saying that everybody's racist, and she gets along this thing. So as the night progressed, I just kept trying to, like, incorporate her to be like, it's like, Miss, everything would have the point of, Miss, just, like, stop being like this and just laugh. We're just idiots having a fun time laughing. Like, just relax. And I got some bits that I did that kind of weaved into that, and it was going fine. And then this succession of things just literally made her like teapot boil because she just kept trying to get at the crowd at that point. So she had said at one point, I said, Mitch, I was like, who are you texting now? And she goes, I'm texting my black boyfriend. And no one cares. Everyone's like, okay. And then I was like, oh, does he make you check in with him every hour so he knows how much time he has to get the chicks out of the house? And she kind of got upset about that. But I explained to her then and there, I'm like, Mitch, you understand I don't know you or your boyfriend? Like, I'm just joking. Like, I don't care. We're just kidding. And then she goes, I'm actually pregnant with a black baby. And I was like, okay. And then I said, it was more of your father's nightmare than my problem. I'm not understanding why we're having this conversation. I go, no one cares. And then her mother yells out, she's lying. She's not pregnant. And then the girl goes, that's right. I'm not pregnant. Because I had an abortion. She said it all spooky like that.
Okay. This is one of the most psychotic. I mean, you've been doing stand-up forever, and you're known for your crowd work. Had you ever had a byplay like this?
Yes.
Oh my God!
That's yes. Funny.
You deserve a purple heart, then, sir.
She says, I had an abortion. And then this is what blew her stack. I kind of thought it was funny the way she said it like that, all spooky. And she was like, I had an abortion. And I said, well, miss, for someone who seems so concerned about racism, you're the only person here who's confessed to killing a black person.
Oh, wow. Dude.
And then her top just blew, and she just started screaming in place. Just screaming at the top of her lungs in place. And then her family, she punched her mom in the chest. It got bizarre, which I pointed out. Whoa, like, relax, Lee. And then they started walking her off like Rambo at the end of First Blood.
All slumped over and defeated.
Yeah, they were able to calm down a Green Beret and get her to come peacefully.
Yeah, so yeah.
They start walking her off, which kind of has everyone and security's like attention. And then, like, Doc Holliday walking up to Johnny Ringo in Tombstone, the brother comes out of the darkness. I'm here, Huckleberry. and he's walking up to me, he's going, he's like, that's my sister. And I went, huh? And he goes, that's my sister. And just grabbed my ankle and just yanked it off. He just yanked me off the stage. And right away, I knew I was going. Like off the stage,
right?
Yeah, like I both feet like on the stool, you know, like on the bars of the stool.
Sure.
So like I had no footing, and I was able to tap my other foot on the ground. Just luckily enough to just get my momentum going, like my upper body going forward. Or else, like with that stage, like a steel stage like that, if I would have hit my head,
the way I was gonna go,
it could have been extremely dangerous. I was like 42 years old. You know, we're getting dragged down in this thing.
Sure.
But I was able to kind of luckily land on top of them. When I realized, I actually had that moment where, like, you land, everything's on the ground, and then you go, like, what, am I alive?
Well, I mean, Jay, so that's part of the video that we've seen. And what I got to say is your boy, Mr. Gomez, he's the man. He was out there in, like record time. Like, that dude has your back. Mm-hmm. So I had texted you last week. I was like, dude, he's the man. He's a true friend for you.
Oh yeah, Lewis is the best. But I was able to say, from the second I landed, I was able to get on top of him, and then I was able to firmly express some opinions to that guy. And then Lewis came over and expressed some of his opinions for a couple seconds. and then 150 fans jump in to tell their opinions, and they pulled us off, and they were like, hey, don't you guys get in trouble.
Yeah.
We'll give our opinions. Like, we'll give our opinions.
All right, so there's a lot of opinions being exchanged. Yeah. Let me ask.
It's a real back and forth of opinion.
So you do this, and then after the fact, so you said the place was nice, but do you think security didn't move in because you were playing with this person in the audience, and they thought, okay, you've got this covered, or what was the story?
They asked me before the show. They were like, "What's any signal?" Which I've been asked a bunch of times. Is there any signal if you want to get rid of people or anything? And I was like, "No." I don't really have like a stage character or anything, so it's
right.
Like, if we're at that point, it would simply be like, "Hey, this guy's got to go," or something. You know, I would just say,
"Right."
Like this guy's a problem. He has to go. No, I was enjoying. You know, I like, especially we've been in quarantine. Like, there's so few shows we've been able to do and everything. And it's just like, this crazy situation's happening. I'm like, sure, this is great. But this lady's bonkers. Like, let's just have fun. And then when her brother came to stay, I don't know. In my mind, I was like, you know, I had a feeling he was walking up for like bad intention. But I was like, this guy might try to come up on the stage or try to get me to come off the stage. I said the humor in at 42 years old, even if I agreed to fight somebody under those circumstances, I would have slowly and deliberately walked down the stairs at the back of the stage still, because if I just would have jumped off the stage to have a cool moment of like, well, let's do it, and jump down, all I see is my knee tweaking.
Yep.
All right.
Yes, of course.
Hang on.
Give me a second. Yeah. Give me a second.
So, Jay, and this is probably a dumb question, is the show over at this point?
The show did end at that point. Yeah.
Okay.
So you,
I've seen shows actually try to continue after a physical situation. It's bizarre every time.
But you did, from what we understand, and we pieced it together, we talked to a few people, is that there was the crowd, and you had a substantial amount of people that realized, A, what a comedy show is, B, realized what your material was and was there to see you execute said material. But you tried to intercede to stop them from sort of doxing these people and going, you know, whole hog on them, and you were trying to mitigate that. Is that correct?
Yeah, I came out and said, don't stop, because like, I hate when they do, they've done it, like, you know, they tried to do it with Ari Shaffir before and stuff, and it's just like, so, you know, listen, at the end of the day, like, you know, when it's on your side, you're kind of like, yeah, like, screw this guy, let's like, go to work on him. But at the same time, like, I'd rather, like, I was trying to explain to them, like, the ideas we already had for, like, you know, considering we have to go to court or whatever, and like, I'm like, yeah, I'll go to court. We're going to bring our own court artists to just draw things that aren't happening in the court.
I love it.
For some reason, I just want a picture. I want a picture drawing of me sitting on a witness stand with like a hanky on my eyes and pointing at the person who hurt me. or like showing on a doll where he touched me. Right here.
So when is the court happening?
I don't know. I guess they have to send like a written statement or something. Right. I know it's so weird. Like, it's so weird because like at the end of the day, you're just like, could we have just had 5 more minutes with them? Like, I would probably like walk away from like all this court nonsense. But
sure.
But I do. I said the only serious note of the whole thing really is like, man, he was drunk. I get it as far as that goes. But like the intention of the action could have done such vicious damage.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have to like not think of it that way because that's what gets in my head about it. I'm just like, man, that guy was like really going for like the kill. I mean, like, it was such a bizarre move.
Yeah, wow. That is weird. And you definitely could have gotten severely injured.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we wanted to get go ahead.
Then page6.com called me a cult comedy hero, and I have not stopped with that.
cult comedy hero.
I told my mother to start showing me the respect of a cult comedy.
It's about time.
That's perfect. Wow. All right. Well, listen, Jay, we wanted to get your side of the story. We got some other things we've got to move on to, but we'll talk soon. And hey, you'll be back in Norristown.
This better be the only side of the story. Is the other guy coming on next?
Yeah, we got to get the other side of the story.
Of course, always. There's two sides.
Yeah. True journalism.
Wow. Well, we're glad you're all right, and obviously, you know, Lewis and the audience had your back, so you're all good.
And besides my own broadcast, this is the only show I've done. I got phone calls from Scooter and the Buzz.
Yes.
We are honored, man.
Yes, we are.
Because we know Scooter and Buzz pull.
I mean, for a cult comedy hero to call is a big-ass deal.
Boomer and, Boomer and AJ, Cape Cod's premier softball
team. We appreciate the love, man. All right, Jay, we'll talk soon, bud. Yeah. Hang in there. Jay Oakerson, yeah. Guys. Wow. That's funny. That's so funny. All right, listen, yeah, we do have another guest we got to get to, so that's why I had to cut Jay a little bit short. But the DNC last night, the national conventions are happening.
And they're happening in a much different way.
Completely different way. And it'll be interesting to see how things like The Daily Show are officially covering that and how correspondents are covering it. So let's get one on right now. Please welcome Mr. Roy Wood Jr. Yay! To the show. Good morning, Roy.
I'm here to talk about Big Jay Oakerson.
The cult comedy hero?
He's my man.
Oh, he's awesome.
Man, how y'all doing, man?
We're doing well. We love having you on. We wish you were in the studio here, but the reason you're not, and while a lot of this is not happening, is because of obviously all the pandemic stuff, which has made this an incredibly unique convention experience, like watching the DNC and you know what they're attempting to do. Everyone's sort of trying to figure out what, you know, whether it's working or not. What's your take, and how are you able to cover this in this limited fashion?
I will first, before I say anything else about politics on either side, during this pandemic, I've been impressed with old politicians' abilities to figure out Zoom chats. God bless you. You set up the camera right, you lit yourself nice, and you look nice on television. Way to go. If nothing else, like, honestly, I think every presidential debate should just be whichever candidate can set up a FaceTime chat and make it look good. That's the competent leader I want.
That's it. That's it. If you can put that together and make it effective, then you need to lead the country.
If you're 80 and you know how to work a tripod and a light microphone currently, you can figure out airstrikes in Turkey. I think you can do it. It's been interesting to see, you know, just because we're not physically there. The thing that I believe is missed from these, that we're going to miss from these conventions, are the voters and the people who are actually there and out there being all excited about the candidates and all of that stuff. But, you know, it's still fun to cover. It's still worth talking about. So we'll do the best we can from our couches from a safe place.
I'll tell you this, and I've heard a couple of, you know, the political pundits on both sides. There is sort of a uniform take that it was politics meets QVC in a way.
Yeah, it's very much. And here we have democracy. It's $14.99, 12 easy payments of $1. You can have your very own democracy box. Oh, free access to the Postal Service. That's going to come in handy very soon. It's the thing that I also don't like is how fake the backgrounds are.
Yeah.
With all of I've been trying to get The Daily Show to let me do a segment where I just talk trash about everybody's background. First off, anyone on TV and Zoom chat, we know you didn't read all those books, you bastard. every person is trying to outbook the other person. It's like book wars on TV now, where there's like 40 books all in one. You didn't. Just put up a Maxim magazine and that one Deion Sanders autobiography from 94.
Roy, you know, the DNC was here 4 years ago. It was in the RNC was here 20 years ago in Philly. And one thing that you hear about that maybe not covered nationally is there are some great parties that go along when the conventions are in town. And I'm sure Wisconsin and Florida feel like they're missing out on a lot of people coming in and having a good time. For you and covering these over the years, best party city for any of the conventions you've ever covered?
I would have to say Philly, and I'm not even blowing smoke. I was there for DNC 4 years ago. Number one, it was hot, it was sweaty, it was muggy. The thing that was weird, having played Philly doing stand-up for so many years, you know, 20 years, coming back and forth to the town, like, seeing people out of place, like, just, you don't fit here. Like, there's someone, like, dressed like an they clearly are some politician's intern, and they have a leather attaché case and a bike helmet, and they're walking down South Street at 3 a.m. getting a slice. And I'm like, you don't fit in here. but welcome. It makes sense. Like, I'm not even from Philly. I'm from Alabama. I shouldn't even be here either, but at least I'm dressed casual.
It's wild, though, because there's it's such a thing. I remember years and years and years ago, I'm sure you do, you know, Roy, the process was actually, this actually meant something, these conventions, where they would select, you know, the candidate, and everything's pretty much, predetermined, and it's just pretty much the machinations of it. But I think one of the things that's proving, you know, that you, as you said, having the people there to show the enthusiasm for their candidate, you know, that who's ever they're supporting, that's an essential part of this. And you're right, the backgrounds and fake stuff, it's so jarring to see it, especially when you consider what a majorly important part of the process this is.
It is important that politicians at a convention look into the eyes of the voters they're lying to.
You're right. Without that,
and that's taken away.
It's taken away.
I don't know. I was saying, does that really, having a crowd there, sway anybody? Because that's what's the, you know, it's supposed to do.
I think it and maybe,
it doesn't help me.
Roy, where do you? Yes, I mean, everyone obviously by this time, if you're still on the fence, it's probably, you're probably an anomaly. But there is something to be said for seeing a crowd embrace somebody. Mm-hmm. You know.
You know what it's like. It's like when you're alone with your girl and she goes, you know, so when are we getting married? You can slice and dice that answer real fast, right? If you don't want to get. But if your girl asks you that same question in front of her family and friends at dinner, oh, you got to really put it on. You got to work to really sell your opinions at that point. And that's really what this is like. Like, I feel like all these conventions, you're just dragging these politicians out so that they can say what they're going to say, but now you got to say it in front of the family so you can really hold your feet to the fire. backpedal 2 years into your term. Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the musical number the first night of the convention?
Billy Porter? You talking about that Billy Porter?
Billy thing? Porter, yeah.
I don't know what that was, but if that's what racial harmony looks like, then maybe we should rethink racial harmony. I don't know.
Yeah, like, it was Stephen Stills too, wasn't it? Stephen Stills playing the guitar.
Yeah, listen, both respected in their field, both award winners in their field, but together with that green screen, maybe it would have been better live. I mean, you know, there's been some weird, you know, country crossover stuff, but that was it. It was so weird. The next night, they just had to get John Legend. They was like, "Look, we just." Call in the legend.
Yeah, you got to do it sometimes. Well, listen, Roy, it's
got to go to the bullpen.
It's a unique time, you know, and it's always unique, these events, but it's really unique this time around. And you guys, of course, are innovative and find awesome ways to cover pretty much anything you get on. So it's going to be entertaining, to say the least. So 11 o'clock, of course, Comedy Central is when you catch The Daily Show. What's coming up next that we need to be aware of?
We're following the news as it breaks, man. So whatever craziness they're talking about tonight, that's what we'll follow. That's the beauty of the next 2 weeks. We don't have to plan a show. We
just react. Yeah, exactly. Done deal. All right, Roy, good luck with everything. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Bye, boys.
All right, Roy Wood, Jim. The Daily Show. Trevor Noah, weeknights, 11 o'clock on Comedy Central. You're able to see that. So, hey, real quick, speaking of television shows and programming notes, since we have a couple of minutes to play with, I found this out. Televangelist Kenneth Copeland is getting the boot from Trinity Broadcasting Network.
Yeah, I saw that. He's losing his show.
Why?
They said that it's not a good fit with them anymore. So, by the way, this is
they're going in a different direction.
They're going in the other direction. It is the largest Christian television station in the world, Trinity Broadcasting Network.
Do we get that here in Philadelphia?
I kind of did a sort of quick check on getting it. I'll tell you this, though, Preston. The odds makers are saying he gets something on another channel. I get something else, you know, in fairly short order.
If you don't remember him by the name, he's one of the preachers that you know, has the private jet case. We have the COVID-19 clip. That's Kenneth Copeland. I don't know what you did with that.
I think I put that over here. I think, yeah.
COVID-19!
19?
Yeah, that's him.
That's and he remember in that particular clip, he actually was able with his breath to blow it away.
He got rid of it. See if you can find that full clip, Case, because yeah. We have it. I think we have it over there. But yes, he had officially. We were done with it. He blew it away by going like that.
That's it. I just blew it away.
Yep.
With my breath and the Lord Jesus Christ.
You have this?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God, I execute judgment on you, COVID-19.
Oh, much.
I execute judgment on you, Satan. You destroyed.
Who's the guy having an orgasm?
Could you shut up? Kind of in what they call a groove, and you throw me off. You killer, you get out. You break your power. You get off this nation. I demand judgment on you. I demand. Hold. I demand. A vaccination to come immediately.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yep.
Hey, bop on the two bop with the bop bop.
got bop it up.
With the bop a dop. I call you done. I call you gone.
He calls him Don Braun.
Don Braun?
Do we talk about this?
I call you Don Braun. I called you Jerry Feisman.
Warner.
I call you Lonnie Drago. I call you Don Gone.
Don Ball.
What? You come down.
My name is Don Braun. I believe you called me.
You come down.
You know what the thing is that we said about this last time. When you look at the pictures of him. What an evil face.
Evil.
He just
evil.
Has a menacing, evil face.
I'm just glad all the prayer worked.
I know, and we're getting to the good part here. Yeah. But real quick, I want to point out that, they dropped him.
Don Braun.
Don Braun.
Don Braun got the gig.
Mm-hmm.
You son of a bitch.
My name is Don Braun. I'm going to get the five apostles together for a summit. Oh, there are more? We'll do two summits.
And by the way, WGTW TV, channel 48 is where this used to run. It was, or is it still run there?
It still runs in Philly.
Okay.
Well, it was running.
Oh, really?
Now apparently you can only receive it in South Jersey.
Oh, yeah. It says Comcast channel 18.
Okay. So 18 on Comcast and then channel 48 on the UHF.
Okay. All right. So anyway, let's continue, and then I'll read the statement by the guy who owns the network and why they got rid of him.
You come down from your place of authority, destroyer. You come down and you crawl on your belly like God comes.
Belly.
Wait, who's crawling on the belly? Is it
COVID-19.
The disease?
Yeah.
Is crawling on its belly?
Well, he's making it. He's forcing it.
From your place of authority, destroyer.
Destroyer.
Yeah.
Destroyer.
You come down and you crawl on your belly like God commanded you when he put his foot on your head in the garden.
Okay. God, listen to the...
And he's riffing and he's not doing a good job.
No.
You are destroyed.
Wait, what was that?
That's it. You can hear the sound.
Was he going?
Is he a disco girl?
He's a disco girl.
Was that you?
It was me. Yeah.
Okay.
You're good. Look, I'm a disco girl with my water bottle that's got the picture of Jesus on.
Scrunchies.
Yeah. That's the sound of the camera as I take my selfies. Of you are destroyed through COVID-19. No more.
No more. No more.
Nope, sir. No more.
Don't even try. That's all you got? It.
No more.
It. Is. It. Finished.
Finished.
It. Is. Over. And the United States of America is healed. And well.
That is where I get my mail.
That was on March 31st, by the way.
Yeah, that's when everything took a turn for the better.
Yep, that's when it all got better.
Really worked.
This isn't the one where he goes, COVID-19. That was
COVID-19. I am the God of hellfire.
Oh, my God.
And I bring you we need COVID.
Those two guys together.
Hey, man, how I'm doing fine.
Oh. Over.
I'm sorry. I have the other COVID spits on COVID
19. I don't want to listen to the whole thing.
No. Oh, no, no, no. See where it's highlighted? Right there.
Hang on. Here, I'll back it up.
Satan, you bow your knees.
Satan, you bow your knees.
This you fall on your face.
You fall on your face.
He's got the Supremes in the background.
You get kicked in the balls.
Sorry, it was
These are the pips.
Yes.
These are the pips.
You'll be leaving on that midnight train to Georgia. Because we'd rather live in our world than live without you in yours. Yours. World.
It's his and hers alone.
His and hers alone.
That's right.
Woo-hoo! That's the pips, the prophets in paradise.
I got to be with him. You know you will. Jesus, because I'd rather live in your world than live without you in mine.
I love that song.
The world is his. His and hers alone.
All aboard.
You bow your knees.
Satan, you bow your knees.
You Backstreet's back. All right.
Oh.
Bow your knees.
You fall on your face.
You fall on your face.
To COVID, I say bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye.
COVID-19.
COVID-19.
There it is. He's taking a big, torking up a big luger. Yeah.
I blow the wind of God.
The wind of God.
On you.
On you.
You are destroyed forever.
Forever.
You are destroyed forever.
Oh. And you'll never be back.
And you'll never be back.
Thank you, our God.
Thank you, our God.
Thank you, Hot Car.
Let it happen.
Thank you, Hot Car.
Thank you, Hot Car. COVID-19, I place saran wrap over your face, and I take a dump on your face.
There's so much that he's saying that we do.
Don Braun.
Cart Carl.
The Pips.
And Beck's.
Backstreet's back. All right.
NSYNC showed up for there.
Carl. Wow. I think there's one last little bit of him.
You are our God.
Let it happen.
Let it happen. Cause it to happen.
And that was on April 6th. So we were done with it then.
Each morning I wake up. Before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you.
Before you.
Forever!
There's a moment, and I'm not going to give too much away if you haven't watched the second season of Umbrella Academy. You haven't, Steve, but some song lyrics come into play.
Oh, really?
Oh, awesome.
Concerning almost like a religious type of thing.
Yeah.
Because there's a time shift thing, and some people don't know these song lyrics, and they start being used regularly as to lead these people. It's very, very funny. All right, anyway, so yes, the Trinity Broadcasting Network said that they're dropping the Kenneth Copeland show or whatever it is. And
they're picking up Mama's Family.
It's not the first skirmish she's had with the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And this minute it says last summer the ministry announced that because of changed time slot, viewer response has been much lower.
That's better.
So Copeland discontinued Sunday broadcasts of their show. The more recent announcement may be the end result of a long simmering conflict. In the post on his website, Copeland explained that his show Believer's Voice of Victory had been aired on TBN for four decades. But after founder Paul Crouch died in 2013, it was taken over by his son Matt and his wife Laurie. And Matt recently told Copeland that the show is no longer a good fit for the network.
So is the network, I assume they're maintaining an inspirational religious programming set, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're just getting rid of him.
I think they're steering away from, you know, manipulative people who buy giant jets with the money that they get. I don't know.
Well, he's become such a laughing stock
because of that.
I think
it'll suck if they're trying for any credibility out of it.
I think it's becoming an embarrassment with stuff like this and how he's just, you know, ridiculously over the top. I talked to a friend of mine who's a pastor when this stuff came out, and I was like, you know,
our new preacher's Mr. Kevin Federline.
And I just want to reach, because the guy I know he's the real deal, yeah. And he just wants to help people. And I was like, what's your opinion on this guy? And he's like, he makes me mad. He's like, he does. The way he quoted is, he said he puts his words in God's mouth. And he's like, and that's just, you don't do that. But he does kind of, he did stop short of saying that the guy's a complete shyster in that he doesn't believe the things that he's saying.
Well, he might have very well, over the time, just convinced himself of this. At a certain point when you live in that world and you tell yourself that it's okay for you to have multiple Lear jets and that there's a reason why you need to take incredible amounts of money that could be going to poor people and to help people in bad ways and put that towards your personal pleasure, which is disgusting.
But Steve, the leather seats.
Yeah. You don't understand.
Yeah.
You ever fly commercial with the people snotting and farting and spitting? That's no way to live.
Uh-oh.
I tell you what, I had a wonderful flight in here, and there was a big fruit platter and champagne, and it was wonderful. I didn't have to deal with all you smegma.
I mean, you're smegma.
Because that's what he's saying is that he did say you distract me from.
People that are kind of bothering him.
They're distracting him from working on his homily.
Even people that wanted prayer from him.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A little too intrusive when he's got.
Come on, give me a break, man.
The flock. So, all right.
I'm reading my book.
They're dropping him from the Christian or the Trinity Broadcasting Network.
Interesting.
By the way, here's a text says, I was having the worst week until this conversation. Now I'm crying, my nose is running, and I almost pee my pants in the car. Thank you guys for making my life better today.
Oh, that's awesome.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
It's not us that did it, my friend. It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Send me $1 million.
Yeah.
COVID-19!
Send me $1 million. All right, we got to take a break. I'm sorry. We're doing it. Casey's looking at his watch. We got to take a break. Come back. We're getting to the B file. Don't forget secret text word, blah, blah, blah. We'll return in a bit.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Nick Perry and the Underground Thieves. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots. Nick Perry and the Underground Thieves. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Let's take another stab at the beef fire.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Hers. Pick up a specially marked bag of Hers today for a chance to win $10,000 and take your summer to the next level. Full rules and details at summer.hers.com. Hers, forever good. Well, a woman from Scotland claims to have found the face of Jesus on a potato. Nikki Halkerston says that she discovered the obvious likeness while unpacking after her weekly trip to the grocery store. She says she took several pictures of the potatoes.
Was it in fact Jesus?
I mean, it's, you know, if you look at
it. Mr. Jesus head?
Looks like a dude with a beard. One can see the natural discoloration of the spud's skin, and it forms a pattern that could maybe be interpreted as a bearded face.
Kind of looks like Guy Fieri, to tell you the truth.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Or Vincent Price, maybe.
That's not as good.
Yeah. Halliston says.
So I do like Vincent Price and Guy Fieri.
Halliston said she ate the potato, so there's only photographic evidence that remains.
What?
She ate Jesus. Yep, she did it. Three people were flown to Memphis hospitals after they were electrocuted Sunday when an antenna they were installing struck a high line wire.
Oh, man.
Three people, including an adult and two juveniles, were installing a television antenna on a trailer and it struck the high line wire. The juveniles were flown to a children's hospital. The adult was flown to a regional hospital. No real details on how everybody's doing, but you got to be careful.
Yes, yeah.
Putting stuff like that up. After a neighborly feud over a retaining wall, this is in Canada, by the way, escalated into a Christmastime act of jackhammer vandalism. A court ordered a gentleman named Reno Pellegrin to pay $16,801 in restitution. At first, neighbors Reno Pellegrin and John Wilden got along fine. They shared landscaping materials, cut each other's weeds. In 2008, John Wilden built a 10-meter-long retaining wall that, in parts, was on Pellegrin's side of the property line by about 19 centimeters, it says here. The error was inadvertent, not intentional, court documents would note. But it would light the fuse on what was to become an ever-escalating series of provocations, complaints, and counter-complaints, beginning with Pellegrin's decision in 2014 to dump 10 pounds of dog poop in the yard of Whedon and his wife.
So that was the first shot in the battle.
It was one of them.
Yeah.
He testified that he put the feces there as a message to the Wildens to stay off his property. You know, like a sign can
yeah,
be
like
too.
Sleeping with the fishes.
Yeah. In the years since, the neighbors regularly called police and bylaw against each other, and a potted plant was thrown from yard to yard until it ended up on the Wildens' roof. At one point, Wilden and Pellegrin engaged in a brief physical standoff. Wilden armed with a rock, Pellegrin armed with a weed whacker. It ended with Wilden being arrested for assault. Charges were ultimately stayed. The judge would ultimately determine that Wilden was justified in picking up the rock and making as if to throw it because Pellegrin was approaching him with the weed whacker.
He had a weed whacker
in hand after insulting Wilden as a, quote, unemployed loser. Pellegrin was also accused of regularly dumping snow and yard waste over the property line. He was accused of spray painting the word remove onto the disputed retaining wall and cowered onto a wheelbarrow that was facing the Wieldens' home.
You know, it's sad. There was a time when they would weed each other's lawns.
That's right.
And here we are now with weed whackers and rocks.
Using them as weapons. Well, on occasion, when he came eye to eye with one of the Wieldens, Pellegrin was accused of performing a litany of obscene gestures, including miming oral sex, grabbing his crotch while saying, suck it, and expelling gas from both ends of his body.
Did they specify that when he did the oral sex gesture, did he use his tongue inside his own mouth?
They did not.
To pretend that it was actually in there.
They did not indicate if he did the tongue in the side of the mouth thing. In court, the Pellegrin family also alleges acts of aggression by the Wieldens. They allege that the Wieldens put garbage in their driveway and a dead snake on their trampoline.
And these are Canadians.
But they did not specify, dates nor testify that they saw those deposits being made.
The most pleasant people in the world.
The conflict would peak Christmas 2015 when Pellegrin, taking a jackhammer to the retaining wall while crowing, ho, 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 Merry Christmas in a Santa Claus outfit. In a video taken of the incident, Pellegrin,
I want to see that video,
says, hope you and yours have a Merry Christmas. This is what happens when you don't get along with your neighbors. Call the cops about every little thing. Sherry and Wilden asked him to stop before calling the police. After the arrival of a police officer, Pellegrin began jackhammering again, which aggravated the officer's concussion and caused her to retreat. Okay. So in a ruling, and the reason I bring this up is they just made a ruling on this. This has been going on for
years.
Wilden and his wife, Sherry, were ultimately awarded $6,301 for the wall damage and $8,000 for loss of enjoyment and value of the property. They were also awarded $800 in court costs and $2,500 for other damages.
So it was worth it.
It can get to that. Yes. Let's see. How about this? A firefighter from Providence, Rhode Island, is facing criminal charges following a motorcycle accident. Early Sunday morning, the firefighter, Joseph Bouchard, was riding on his motorcycle and hit a fire hydrant. And then he fled the scene. Police responded to the scene shortly after midnight. They found an injured female victim. Witnesses said she was on the back of the motorcycle.
He left her there?
And he took off and left her.
Oh, man.
After hitting the fire hydrant. He left on a damaged motorcycle and left her behind. He faces multiple charges, including misdemeanor for DUI and stopping for the accident resulting in injury, which is a felony charge, not stopping for the accident. So that's a felony charge. One last story, and then we will wrap it up. The Missouri State Highway Patrol reported the Pentecostal Bridge collapsed after a semi-truck attempted to cross it. A truck carrying feed tried to cross the bridge on Monday afternoon. The bridge has a posted sign of a 5-ton weight limit. The truck was carrying 30,000 pounds over the weight limit of the bridge. The driver attempted to back up, and when he was attempting to back up the hill, he struck a guardrail. Then he tried to back around the corner and tried to get straightened out. He was striking a rock, so he continued to go back and forth, cracking the rock in the guardrail. Once he eventually started to make the turn, he struck the bridge, which caused the bridge to collapse with him on it.
That's insane. There's a great William Friedkin movie called The Saucer, where this super heavy truck tries to go across a rope bridge.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
The driver can be issued citations for violating the weight limit. That's it.
That's just nuts. That's
what I have in the bizarre file for you for now. All right, we are going to take a break, and I tell you what, let's get our winner for the secret password. We need a number caller. Marissa, give me a number caller.
16.
All right, 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the letter, not the letter of the day, you know the secret text word. And we'll grab a random texter while we're at it, too. Coming back in a moment when we return, Philadelphia musician Pat Finnerty managed to get Dave Grohl on his Instagram Live account for a jam session. We're going to find out how it happened with him in just a moment.
That's
we'll be
awesome.
Right back.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We were looking for, I think it was call number 16, Marissa?
Yes, it was.
All right, so that is Luke, and we're going to see if we can find the secret text word. Hey, Luke, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you? Sorry to bother you at work.
No, no. Listen, you called it the right time. You give me the secret text word, you win the prize. What is it?
It's shocker.
Shocker. Yeah. Absolutely correct, sir. I want you to hang on the line because we are going to get you some tickets to see this band right here live. They're playing the Circle Drive-In Theater in Scranton on Saturday, September 12th, and you get to take three people with you. It's a carload, one of those shows, and tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Steel Panther, the band, of course, and we're also going to give to a random texter the same thing, Johnston Roberts from Pennsville, New Jersey, is our winner. So
nice.
Congratulations, yes. And again, I want to thank drummer of Steel Panther, Stig Zadinya, for retweeting my little thing I did. I took the video of Casey's ranch dressing freak out, and I played the drums to it. I played every beat of that speech on my drums, and he loved it. He said I forgot what he wrote. He said it like did his heart good or something like
Brings
that.
Brings me so much joy.
Brings me so much joy. That's what it was. So thanks.
That's so cool. He's a cool guy.
He's awesome, man. I love those guys. And I'm an honorary member of the band.
You are.
You are.
What's your name again?
Tommy Tom Thompson is my name. given to me by Satchel. He gave that to me. All right. And our next guest is an honorary member of Foo Fighters.
Seems to be that way.
Now is how that worked out, I guess. So, no, actually, it was an interesting story. Rolling Stone picked it up. My prep service that gets me my music news had it written up this morning, and he's a Philly guy, which is awesome. But I think I had mentioned Scranton with the guys playing there. Is he from Scranton?
Is he
a transplant?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's a pretty sweet deal. So, all right, let's welcome him. He did it via his Instagram Live, and we want to welcome Pat Finnerty to the show this morning. Hey, Pat, how you doing?
Good, man. I might be an honorary Foo Fighter at this point, but I haven't received any monetary.
Steel Panther doesn't give me any money, dude.
I know.
Don't worry.
I'm waiting on that shiflet money.
Yeah, the shiflet money.
That's where you put yourself, that level.
Nice. Hey, well, listen, first of all, cool. Kudos to you. You set out a goal to get this done, and have you been surprised by all this attention? I mean, freaking Rolling Stone picking up on it and all these prep services?
Well, here's the thing. When you get Grohl Like, I did this whole thing to get Grohl, and I feel like Grohl's getting me now. Because it's like, this is the world's Grohl, man. Like, if you get Grohl, like, the world is coming at you. Like, I'm getting messages from Venezuela, like, New Zealand. Like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, no,
with
that's...
Grohl, I mean... We kind of live on planet Grohl. Like when you think about it, he plays with everybody. He's on every documentary. It's Grohl. So it's like it's coming.
He definitely is a force. And we said a while ago. Now things have started to take a turn for the better. But you know there was just a thin string holding the world of rock together, and we believed that Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters were part of that string and his adoration for regular rock. But you're right. He is the real deal. And so you decided, you mounted what you called a Grohl-a-thon. And explain what you did.
So I've been doing a Pat Finnerty show on Instagram since the pandemic really started. And it was like building to like I would record songs in an hour. And then I did socially distanced concerts from my roof and then from Johnny Brenda's. And then I was just like, I don't know what to do next. I don't know if we should go back outside. I'm not sure what should happen. And the whole time I just kept saying, let's get Grohl. Basically just because I want Grohl's life. You know what I mean? You know, Grohl's got it good. So I was just like, let's get Grohl. And then I just kept saying that because it's funny. And then I was just like, I was sitting on my porch one day and I was just like, let's get Grohl. And I came up with the idea for the Grohl-a-thon, which is 24 hours of staying on Instagram Live. In an attempt to get Grohl to sing the Sting part on Money for Nothing.
Now, why'd you pick that song?
Because it's ridiculous. No, I picked the song. I picked the song because the riff rules. I love Mark Knopfler. He's like my favorite guitar player. And the fact that Sting sings on that song is still funny to me.
Okay.
So it's like if I get – and it was just a weird enough thing that I thought that he would be into. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm like – And life is so weird right now, as we all know, that I was just like, you know, is it out of the realm of possibilities that Grohl would come on? And instead of me being like, dude, Nirvana, dude, instead of that, I was just like, no, Grohl, I just want you to sing the Sting part on Money for Nothing. I thought it'd be fun.
And his comment was, that's all you wanted?
Yeah. He's like, dude, that's all you wanted?
Yeah. By the way, so what were the steps? I mean, because I had read, or at least maybe it was in the Rolling Stone article, that it was somebody who you knew somebody who was going to be going over to Dave's for a party. What was that? Yeah. What was that step process?
All throughout the day, I have a cardboard cutout of Grohl, and we were sending him around Philly. He was hitting up the Liberty Bell and the Art Museum and all that stuff. And I was checking back in with the street team, Team Grohl-a-thon. And then I had a guy in L.A. who was just driving around looking for him. And he couldn't find him. And I had a Grohl center that was like taking calls. He wasn't calling. But I had like all these people just like that. I've been a musician for a long time. I have a bunch of like dudes and bands and all these like kind of BS connections and all of this stuff. And my friend Justin Mazur texted a dude he used to play in a band with, Jason Gallagher, who lives in L.A. And he goes, do you know anybody who knows Grohl? And then he said yes. And then he texted this dude, Andrew Sicking, who I don't know. And Andrew Sicking was going to a dinner at Grohl's house that night. Go. So we were one step away from Grohl, and that's how it happened. And he went to this dinner, and then this dude, like, DM'd me, and he's like, check your inbox, Grohl is down.
So he just sprung like it on him. That's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know the guy at all. I don't know Andrew Sicking at all.
Well, the fact that he went out on a limb to do that for you, and this all clicked, what, in the ninth hour?
The ninth hour, which if you think about it, right, like I was prepared to go 24 straight hours and lose my mind on Instagram Live. I kind of wanted to do that because it would be funny. But the, you know, 9 hours, everyone's like, he's on for 9 hours. And then I'm like thinking about it, like people go to work every day for 9 hours.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like yeah. 9 hours isn't that long. Like it is, like you'll go crazy on Instagram Live. Don't get me wrong, for 9 hours. But like it was kind of a work day, like a work day will get you Grohl.
Yeah, it worked. Right. Yeah, absolutely. So so let me ask you, does this connection, does it carry on? Are there other possibilities and entrees for you into the world of Grohl?
Well, you know, we talked for like 20 minutes. He was great. You know, I told him he was great at being Grohl. I blew a little up, you know, whatever. This is radio. I love
smoke up his ass.
This hurts. This hurts. Okay. Yeah. But not a lot, you know, and I basically just like, I knew he would be a cool guy because it's been a life of Grohl. Like I said to you before, he's everywhere. You know, he's a cool guy. You know, he's funny and he rips on the drums. So it's just kind of like, you know, I knew that he'd be all right with it. And he had a good time. You know, I think he had a really good time. And I said, Grohl, here's what I really wanted to do. I wanted to get you the chopper and then have him, you know, come down. So I was just like, you know, I have plans for you, Grohl. And he was laughing. And I was just like, my name is Pat Finnerty. I live in Philadelphia. You don't need anything because you're Grohl. But I do. So you, when you come to Philly, you know, hit me up. I was going to ask him for $20,000 just to be like, Grohl, I've listened to your music for so long. I've talked about you so much. How about $20,000?
I wonder.
No, it's not the right call. You made the right choice not asking him for money.
I know.
It is wrong, but he might have. Mm-hmm. You know? Because here's a guy, as we all, I'm sure you're aware, that he loves barbecuing. So honestly, you know, a guy who's just, he has all these interests, he sees somebody who went out on a limb. I don't know.
You invite him to the burger brawl.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect. So, all right. Well, that's cool that it ended up happening, man, that it came through. And I'm sure you were planning on it not happening and just doing the 24 hours. But you also, now, you play in a band, or do you have a couple of projects that normally, under normal circumstances, you would be working on?
Yeah. Now, this is the stuff where your listeners, they're not going to care about this. So,
well, I'll make the call since it's our radio show, Pat. It's all good, bud.
I know. But here comes the zone out across Philadelphia in the world. Yeah, I have my own band. I've been trying, like everybody else. Pat Finnerty in the full band. I do a lot of, I write my own songs like people do. I have a video on YouTube called Tough Gig, which I'm really proud of that I put out during the pandemic. And, you know, I've been playing around Philly, and I've been in touring bands, and I've played around the world and stuff like that, but I'm really enjoying the interviewing process. I've got into doing interviews, and I would like to try to, you know, expand this
to keep that going.
Idea of, yeah, keep it going and see who else I can get.
All right.
And, you know,
I mean,
Grohl is a special guy because, you know, he's down, you know, it's just, you have to find the right people.
Yeah,
right.
Buddy, David was sickening on not that long ago. Just scrolling through your Instagram. David was sickening.
What
on
a
the,
guy.
The yeah. Preston in here, friends.
He was on the Grohlathon. I met him on the Grohlathon through Pat Berkery, my friend and my drummer in my band. And he was incredible. He told me about Live Aid. I've been on a big Live Aid kick recently.
Well, it was just the anniversary. Yeah. So it was huge. We did a whole bunch of stuff here. So you got those guys out of the, who's your number one get? Who's the guy you've got to get on your show? No ifs, ands, or buts.
That's gotta be Paul.
There we go.
Yeah,
I've sat down with Paul before. He's an awesome guy.
Oh man, I can't even imagine.
I was scared.
I would
to
like
death,
to think
dude.
I'd be cool. I'd like to think I'd be cool. Like Grohl.
We are talking about Paul fine. Young, like, right?
Yeah.
Every time you go away.
Every time you go.
No, Pat. He was a sweetheart. He knew I was. He knew I was nervous, and he made it real, real easy.
I bet he's been doing that forever. Here's the real question, though, guys. What's the better every time you go away? Is it Hall & Oates or is it Paul Young? And don't be like homers here.
So I think the Hall & Oates version is, because I saw them perform it live. I actually saw them sing, they were trading back and forth. It was, who was he with? It was another great guy. But the vocals were great, and it was the original guy, he wrote it, so it was fantastic. So yeah. I have to give kudos to Hall & Oates.
Now, I have a question for you guys. Is there any chance that I could record one of, like, the kind of generic rock riffs that's on the radio in between your segments? Like,
right.
Can I record one of those and send it to you guys, and you guys could use it at some point?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If it fits, for sure. Yeah, we'll definitely do that, man.
They're all
the same.
Give us something unique.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Do that.
I may as well use this moment to be like, I want to put a generic rock riff on the radio at some point. I've been listening to them my whole life. So that'll be cool. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, all right, yeah, no, we'll use it. Yeah.
Your dream has come true.
Yeah, any way that we can deprive musicians of their of being compensated for their work, we're all on board.
Yeah, don't pay me. I don't want money.
Don't worry.
We won't. Yeah.
We shall honor your wishes. Yeah. When's your next?
It only cheapens it.
When's your next? You doing an Instagram live tonight, or do you do it every night? What's up?
I used to do it every night. Now I'm just trying to figure out exactly what I want to do. I think I'm going to figure out the next. I'm going to get another guest lined up, and then you know, not like a Grohl, not like a Get. I'm just going to try to get a cool, you know, maybe a dude from a band or something like that, just to have something that could kind of build it.
That's great.
All right, good. Well
this one worked.
Yeah, you're doing well, man. That's cool. We're happy for you. So so keep up the good work, Patton. We'll wait for our generic rock riff.
I can't wait. And if I could just leave it with this, where it's like all the listeners, you know, think about your own lives, that they're important, and think about everybody that's in your life. But most importantly, you know, think about Pat Finnerty. Okay. And,
all right, thank you.
What you could do for Pat Finnerty.
We'll all consider that today. Thank you, Pat Finnerty. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah.
That's very cool.
Got it done, man. A little persistence, and it worked out for him. All right, lesson question. That's what we're going to do. And the lesson question, we're going to give away a digital download of Batwoman, the complete first season. We need to find out if you heard, for oral hygiene, what Steve uses to scrape his tongue. 215-263-WMMR for oral hygiene. What does Steve use to scrape his tongue? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We're going to do the trash while you're calling.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's get right into it. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Kenan Thompson will be filling in for Judge Simon Cowell on AGT while he recovers from a serious bicycle accident. Thompson is already preparing to step in for Cowell by having all of his talent removed.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
38-year-old Britney Spears is requesting to have her father, Jamie Spears, removed as her conservator, saying she is more than ready to resume control of her finances. Spears made the formal request in a letter that contained a crayon picture of a unicorn and 5 mil duds.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Keanu Reeves raving about the COVID safety protocols that have been put into place to keep everyone safe while filming The Matrix 4. Reef says that when actors aren't needed on set, they are placed into liquid-filled pods and connected to a master controller to a port in the back of their spines.
Safe?
Yeah. And that's your Hollywood show.
All right. We'll see if somebody knows the answer to this question for oral hygiene. What does Steve scrape his tongue with? 215-263-WMMR. Hey, Ryan, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Good, Ryan. What does Steve use to scrape his tongue with?
An X-Acto knife.
You are correct. X-Acto knife is exactly correct, and we have a digital download of Batwoman, the complete first season. After Batman disappears, Gotham is in chaos and in need of a new savior. Enter Kate Kane, a dangerous and outspoken woman who must provide hope to the city as Batwoman. Own it now on digital, Blu-ray, and DVD.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, few stories to get to this morning. Here's a chance to own some White Stripes memorabilia, including instruments and gear. Jack White is putting multiple items on the auction block, including Meg White's crash cymbal, Jack White guitars, and the drum kit from the White Stripes Hardest Button to Button music video. I'll have to see what that looks like.
So now that Jack White is our best friend.
Yes.
We had a successful interview with him.
He was a nice guy.
He was a really big, you know, we should see about getting him on again. Because
reach back out. I'd like to.
I think he's probably thinking about us a lot.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, most definitely.
And plus, we can soften him up into coming back to Philadelphia sometime.
Yeah. Well, now the baseball's back.
We want you here.
Baseball for a little while.
Yep. This is according to Pitchfork.com. The auction runs the 26th, next week, next Wednesday. to Sunday, August 30th. And it's online, Nashville. It's Eastern via on, or no.
Huh?
Never mind. The times are Eastern. It's going to be via online Nashville auctions. Blah, blah, blah. There you go. But a portion of the proceeds are going to of the auction are going to benefit the John Peel Center, Gideon's Army, and the Detroit Phoenix Center. Seether has announced a live stream concert event in celebration of their upcoming eighth studio album, Si Vis Pacem Parabellum, Locked and Live, which is in the partnership with Veeps and Elite Multimedia. It's going to be held on Sunday, August 30th at 3 p.m. The set list promises to include classic hits as well as brand new tracks from the new album. So the ticket packages are on sale now at seether.veeps.com. This week, Metallica's ongoing vintage video series dubbed Metallica Mondays featured the band set from the September 14, 2011 show at New York's Yankee Stadium. And that show was the last of the big four events featuring Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, and Anthrax. During the concert's encore, Overkill featured a full stage including Kerry King, Dave Lombardo, Gary Holt, David Ellefson, Chris Broderick, Sean Drover, Scotty Ann, Rob Caggiano, Frank Bello, Charlie Benante, and Joey Belladonna. So that is their latest release. Pretty Reckless singer Taylor Momsen recently spoke with Forbes about the decision to delay the release of their next album, Death by Rock and Roll, until 2021. She said the main reason for delaying it was simply because putting out a few songs and not being able to play them is one thing, but putting out a full album and not being able to play to tour is crazy.
So the touring is going to be critical, they believe.
Yeah.
And I think she's probably right.
They released their first single from the album, Death by Rock and Roll, in May and plan to release more in the future. She said there's going to be more music to come. The title track is just the first little taste or the tip of the iceberg, if you will. And then, we have an audio clip. This is pretty cool. Steve sent this over. Nuno Betancourt, outstanding guitarist, was originally in the band Extreme, but he's kind of a gun for hire now. You see him playing everywhere from rock acts to touring with Rihanna. I mean, he's just kind of a go-to. He's one of the guitar greats. And he did a live jam session with Nancy Wilson and Taylor Hawkins. And they had this gal, Liv Warfield, who sings.
She's good.
I saw her a few years ago singing another Heart song. I think she was singing Crazy on You live. And I think it was with Nuno and Nancy as well. She can belt, man. She's fantastic. So they did a version of Barracuda.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. So we'll play a little clip of this for you. Many women can match that Ann Wilson in her prime vocal style. And this gal, Liv Warfield, can. So it's pretty cool. It's worth checking out. And Nuno stays true to the original guitar sound and solo. It's really cool. And Taylor's great in it, too. So cool things like that have been happening left and right during this. It's one of the cool things to come out of this horrible situation we're all in. So hopefully, post when touring returns, maybe some of these groups that are
wouldn't
doing
that be
these jam
cool?
sessions will get together and go out and do this stuff and take it on the road.
I'd love to see Nancy Wilson.
Yeah. And then finally, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Weir, Rage Against the Machine's Tom Morello, and Queens of the Stone Age leader Josh Homme have signed on for a live charity event paying tribute to the life and work of late Clash frontman Joe Strummer. It was reported a two-hour A Song for Joe, celebrating the life of Joe Strummer, will stream for free on Friday, August 21st. Three to 5 p.m. Eastern via joestrummer.com with all donations directly benefiting Save Our Stages.
There's a great Clash documentary. Have you seen that Clash documentary? Shows about them from just...
I think so, yes.
It's really good.
Yes. Also appearing on the special will be Dropkick Murphys, Butch Walker, Lucinda Williams, members of The Strokes, actor Steve Buscemi, and Matt Dillon. Politician Beto O'Rourke with singer-songwriter Jesse Malin hosting the event. So that is coming up on Friday. And that's what I got.
Nice.
That's your music news, friends. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Get ready to wrap the whole thing up. Letter of the Day, Word of the Week prize. Remind you about it all when we get back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We're done.
Oh.
How about that? Wrapping up another day in the books. And what a day. I enjoyed the hell out of today's broadcast.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Just glad Kathy wasn't here for it.
That would have brought it all down.
God.
Bitch.
Wow. Damn.
That's all I had. I'm a little
rare.
I had a long night.
We need to talk about that. We didn't get a chance to get to it today. Did you hear about Marissa last night?
I did not.
Her fire alarm in her building went off at 3 o'clock in the morning.
2:30.
Oh, 2:30. Oh. Had to go outside the building, everybody, pets, everybody in their, you know, bathrobes and everything. And
lantern flies.
Stand around for an hour.
Yes, they're all over the place. Ugh.
Waiting. And so I am surprised at how bright-eyed and bushy-tailed you are after such a turbulent evening.
That sucks.
So we thank you for your contribution to the program today.
Well, the night had started with some birthday celebrations with my friends, so that made it a little better.
And your birthday technically is coming up, right?
It's Friday.
All right.
But a lot of people go down the shore, so we had a little picnic on.
Any word is it? Because I know you said you'd fallen asleep while blowing glass, but any idea as to what happened, what caused the fire?
No, I don't know. It wasn't anything. Yeah, it's nothing.
Okay. So maybe we'll cover that soon. And I want to thank Big J Okerson for checking in and giving us his, you know, perspective of what happened, getting yanked off the stage and all that stuff. So
it makes for a hell of a story.
And he said he turned down tons of interviews to come on and be on the President Steve show.
An easy listening station in Cape Cod, he said.
That was Scooter. The only station he's done. Scooter and somebody.
Scooter and Buzz or something.
Thank you to Roy Wood Jr.
Yeah.
From The Daily Show with Trevor Noah and covering the conventions, sort of. But they know what they're doing. They do a great job. And then finally, Pat Finnerty jammed with Dave Grohl over the week over Instagram.
Yeah.
So thank you, Pat, for being on the show. Pierre Robert is in the studio. Pierre went to a show last night.
I did.
How was it?
Well, it was really
Struts,
cool.
By the way, and I'm just setting it up. Yeah. I didn't say what show it was. The Struts at Citizens Bank Park.
It's our first musical live-in drive-in. You guys had the first comedy live-in drive-in with Bert Kreischer, and it was just a perfect evening. Music, weather-wise, it just couldn't have been nicer. And the band, we had two bands. We had Nick Perry opening, and the Underground Thieves. They're local, and they just put out a record. And they got a great reception, and Brent Porsche and I were hosting. And then Struts came on about 9 and did a great set. And it was there's a part in the show where Luke often will get the audience to he'll do that left hand, right hand.
Right, right.
Which actually I find annoying.
left hand, right hand thing.
Well, meaning
left side, sing along, sing loud,
right side, sing loud, boys, sing loud, girls, sing loud.
Crowd participation.
Yeah. A lot of bands, not a lot of bands, but some bands do it, and I wish they all stopped doing it.
Okay.
But aside from that, he was getting to that part of the show, and he goes, well, we can't do that, so let's have left horns honking and right horns honking. And the horns were honking left and right, and I had left my car at that point, was walking around, and I was standing next to Brent Porsche's Jeep, and I was almost deafened by the horn sound.
Yeah, no doubt.
But if you had a stereo microphone in the parking lot, you would hear the left channel honking, all these horns honking, and then the right channel honking, and then everybody started honking. So it was a great vibe, actually.
That's
really cool.
How did you think the sound situation?
In the car, it was great.
Excellent.
But when I started walking around, it was not good.
Yep, that's why
in the audience.
They want you to stay in your vehicle.
Right.
You know, so that's part of the deal with that.
Our crowd was incredible. Everybody was incredibly well-mannered, really nicely behaved. Everybody was so almost joyous to experience some live music. You know,
so
that was cool.
The key, like when we went up with Bert and we were telling the audience, the more that this, everyone follows the rules and everyone sort of, you know, is saying it, the more we can keep doing this, the more things will get, you know.
And the sooner we can get back to
normal, exactly.
Right. Hey, what did Luke, did you talk to the guys?
Yeah.
What did they think about it? I'm sure you didn't see them after the show, but
I saw them briefly after.
Oh, okay.
They had to bolt, didn't they?
They had to bolt because they have a show near Pittsburgh tonight.
Yeah.
And they don't this, they're just doing a few one-offs, and so they were driving to Pittsburgh at 11 o'clock last night. This was the very first one they had ever done. So they had just gotten in the day before. So this is the first one of these that they had done. And he said afterwards, I was really nervous about how it would go, but it really went well. The crowd was incredible. And he thanked MMR two different times from the stage, thanked me, thanked MMR, thanked the audience, and more importantly, thanked Philly and what a great audience. He said, we have never had a bad show here.
Oh, that's great.
Were you impressed by any setups of cars or anything? I mean, it has the potential of getting a little Buffett-esque in, like, the back of pickup trucks and such.
It's really good that you pointed that out, because I was walking around afterwards trying to, I mean, normally we do the roving rock microphone and people are leaving, what'd you think of the show? And so I just took my phone and just walked around and started chatting with a few people. And I came across these two guys, and they had a full grill in their pickup truck bed, and they had turned it backwards. And there had been some question as to whether you could do that. You can actually back a pickup truck in and sit in the bed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they had brought plastic chairs. And so the two guys and their two girlfriends, and they had a little mini bar set up going in the back, and they had a full grill going, and they really, I have them on tape. They were living large.
So. Are RVs allowed?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's got to fit in a standard parking spot.
Gotcha. Okay.
And you wouldn't see a good view from an RV unless they had a deck or something.
But you'd have a bathroom and a kitchen and, you know, the ability to tailgate in a different way. I'm just curious. It's going to be really interesting to see how these things roll out over the next few months.
Well, the bathrooms are incredibly well done and incredibly clean.
Good.
I mean, they had all these porta potties, and I watched people go in with spray guns and some kind of sanitizing something or other.
They do it constantly.
Yeah.
And that's why all the food service and booze service, they come to your car.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You you take your cell phone out and you take a picture of the, what do they call
the code.
QR code.
The QR code. Yeah. And you can get anything from food brought to your car to buy merch that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it cool?
So, I mean, pretty wild. Or if you have a problem, you can text a certain number and someone will come to your car and help you.
Yeah. They have AAA and stuff like that. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was very well thought out. The audience couldn't have been better and more well-behaved and more excited and more thrilled to see a show. There had been this problem up in Long Island, up in the Hamptons with this band called the Chainsmokers that had done one of these. And everybody, I don't know if the band encouraged it. I think Cuomo was going to sue them because everyone left their cars and rushed the stage.
Right.
And they were all jamming together. And it went horribly south. This was not that. Everybody incredibly well behaved and great vibe and perfect weather. So between Nick Perry and the Underground Thieves and the Struts, I was doing a little concert piece when they were doing one. They played three brand new songs for the first time ever in Philadelphia, by the way. Yeah, they debuted three songs from the forthcoming album, which we might see as soon as the end of this month. Really good stuff, one of which is called Strange Days, all about these strange days that we're living in.
Nice.
They made the album in 10 days in L.A., different song every day, so 10 songs on the album. And I just got a chance to hear a little bit of it. It's really good.
Cool.
So they're just a great
success.
Great bunch of guys.
I love it.
They're poised, they're poised for their... They're like poised for takeoff into another level of success. I think they're not quite there yet, but this next album and hopefully tour beyond.
Sometimes COVID. The right song will do it. They've had hits and they're good, but if you get one that captures everybody, then you're on your way.
Right.
So hopefully
they've got their single is going to be a song called Another Hit. And that's one of the new ones they debuted last night. But Luke said, for the first time anyone is hearing these are you people here in Philly at this MMR concert event. So
wonderful stuff. We need to do the letter of the day.
I prepare.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
C.
so much.
He prepares.
He prepares.
Yeah. Yes. The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
A, as in attitude.
All right, and we are going to give away, as a prize on Friday, a Mermaid Spirits Distillery basket with 6 bottles of their products and over $100 in distillery merch, including logo pint glasses, Glencairn whiskey tasting glasses, a logo hoodie, and more. 6 bottles include each of their 3 distinctive styles of rum, their trademark Forbidden Drive vodka, McComish single malt American whiskey, and their D.V. Johnston straight bourbon, perfect neat or on the rocks with the mermaids. Must be at least 21 years of age to win, located in Huntington Valley at the intersection of Davisville and County Line Road. Visit mermaidspirits.com for all things mermaid. Enjoy responsibly. Direct shipping available throughout Pennsylvania. Like I said, we give that away on Friday. What's up on the show today, Pierre?
Well, we have a couple of theme blocks. We have a request for a soldier block, and we're going to get to that. We've got a block of hailstorm, and then we have a request for kind of a new wave block of some of those wonderful new wave hits from the 80s.
Hey.
Yeah, so we're going to have some fun with a couple of themes.
Cool. All right, I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Hers, the official chip of making the most of your summer. And also by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And Hyundai City Park. Get ready for a whole lot of Sonata. Shop now and save during the summer. Sell off at HyundaiCity.com. Tomorrow on the program, Joe Gatto of Impractical Jokers will be joining us. Comedian Sam Morrow will be on the show, and I'm sure we got a lot of other things we need to get to, some stuff to give away, so we will enjoy. That is it. We are done. Have a great day, and we will rage on. I almost forgot to say that. Rage on, or did I say it?
No.
Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Yes.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you live.
Oh, really, dude? The red light playing your Jesus music, I'm blessed, and you cut me off the first chance you get? Jesus would slap the shit out of you.
Next message.
As long as I watch the game, they win. I absolutely missed one game on Friday. They lost tremendously. I absolutely had to cut off work early. I skipped 2 customers so I could come home to watch this game. And you know what they did? They won. Go Flyers.
Next message.
So 6 feet.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.